Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Action Radio. This is Greg Penglis coming to you from the historic district of downtown Milton on the banks of the beautiful Blackwater River. And now let's get into Action Radio. Wait, one more word to type. Hold on, I'm almost done. Sometimes it gets very last minute around here. And so there we go. So I'm just texting. And up, oh, don't do that. No. Hang on. Okay. Okay. We're good. And I think this is really a last minute show today. I've still got messages flying back and forth. We've got those that, let me see who can make it. Okay. So Judy's going to try and call in. Okay. Good. There we go. All right. Don't mind me. I'm thinking out loud. So this the world's greatest doctors panel, the way this is evolving, I never know who's going to call in. A lot of times I'll text out messages, you know, ahead of time, and people, because, you know, the people that come on the show are some of the busiest people, you know, on the planet. They're dealing with patients, they're dealing with COVID stuff, they're dealing with lawsuits. You know, we had Captain Tom Peters yesterday, you know, and I just found out that the Inspector General has said that the defense, you know, can't deny religious exemption. So, you know, the tide is turning. The Constitution is coming back, and, you know, the tyrants are you know, retreating. And so this is good news. Right now it's just me. Like I say, we'll see who, you know, who's calling, who's going to, you know, whatever's happening. Let me just text. Just let me give Judy the number again. Oh, okay. Yeah, don't mind me. Show in progress, I know. I don't have a producer, so I got to do this stuff. So just in case, yeah, I should give everybody else a number, 215-383-3832. That's our call in. And so I'm doing that because I'm texting out at the same time as I'm talking. One day I'm going to say something I shouldn't. And I'll have to, like, delete the whole show because everything we do here is podcast. But I'm looking for a producer because we're anticipating some major growth very soon. I don't know when it's going to happen, but when it does, it's going to happen very quickly. And what I figure is going to happen is that one story, one big news report, one TV reporter, you know, we're already on our way with Emerald Robinson at Lindell TV, you know, has said, you know, said all kinds of wonderful stuff about us. Well, I was on talking about the vaccine bill, which is what I want to talk about today, too. So it looks like we got the first of our folks here. I think it's Judy. Let me just confirm here real quickly. You know, one day I'll memorize Judy's numbers because it's different than a bunch of the others. Judy Mikovits, good morning. Thanks for joining us today.
Good morning.
Yeah, why are you joining me today?
Good morning, Greg.
So, well, it might be just you and me for a while. John can't make it. John Cullen.
Well, that's okay. It's been a wild couple of days.
Well, in that case, why don't you just start right in? Introduce yourself and quickly, because the regular listeners know, but you never know, you know, when we get new people. And then tell me the news.
Well, I'm Judy Mikovits, PhD. I'm retrovirologist. The world with explaining how retroviruses actually work. I uncovered the ugly truth about retroviruses and the damage they do in vaccines, the contaminants of having animal and human tissues injected in every vaccine. And our work is described in our three books, Plague, Plague of Corruption, and Ending Plague, along with the truth about the masks. New York Times best-selling author on Plague of Corruption, which was the promotional video, Plandemic. So Plandemic was a promotional video for Plague of Corruption all the way back May 4th, 2020. And here today, later today, I think Del Bigtree on the High Wire is going to talk
gonna
with
join
Nikki
in?
Willis and others.
Oh.
Yeah,
not us?
About Plandemic 3. I don't think he can come in because he's Thursdays at 11 PDT. It's 8 PDT right now, so that's why we almost never catch him because he's doing his show. So I'll just tell your audience right after this show you want to see the High Wire, 11 o'clock PDT, 2 o'clock Eastern time, because they're talking about Plandemic 3, and I honestly don't know. I just saw the commercial last night, so this is why, Greg, we haven't been able to reach everybody. So they're gonna have folks on, and I'll text you the links so you can throw them in the show notes. So that's okay. Who I am. We're out there you know, explaining and fighting as to why the synthetic vaccines called COVID-19 vaccines are synthetic, deadly, humanized monkey viruses, humanized SARS-CoV-2, which is a monkey virus, we've said before. So we're exposing and folks are waking up big time, and it's actually fun right now, except for we have to duck a lot because they're hammering us.
It is fun. Well, I'm glad you see that, because so many people, they take this so seriously, and I have friends that they're new to politics. I mean, you've been doing this, you know, most of your life. There's politics and science, and anybody that thinks otherwise isn't really dealing in science. But it really, you have to treat it as a game in many respects. It's a sport. You take your victories, you put some scores on the scoreboard, you take your points, you know, you congratulate yourself for a good day's work. Otherwise, you go insane. And too many people, if they don't get like the absolute victory, we have to get everything we want, and they're depressed. It's like, no, if you look at it that way, you're always going to be depressed. You've got to take the victories when you get them. And I think you get that, and some other folks get that, but a lot of folks who are new to activism, they don't. They see this as like an all or nothing proposition, and that's just not how it works. What do you think?
Right. This is an endurance race. As my husband used to say, he has skinny ankles and I don't. And so he's a race
you
horse
bike ride?
And I'm a plow horse. Yes, I do. And I'm a plow horse. And we tell in our books, especially in Ending Plague, Frank Rossetti and I talk an awful lot about athletics and the link of athletics to endurance. And of course, we're seeing that the most elite athletes, you know, as they inflame their body and don't down modulate that inflammatory signal, that is explosion. That's what myocarditis is, the flame, inflammation. Anytime you see itis on a word, they're the last people that should get the shot, because they've already got any shot, because they've already got the flame on. And so the endocannabinoid, your God-given cannabinoid system, endogenous is what it means, in yourself, that's the dimmer switch on the flame. And so you dim the flame. So my flame, I've trained myself to run endurance races. So I play ice hockey, and I guarantee you I can't skate and hit the puck at the same time, as we've talked to a friend and with before, because I'm the goon. My job is just to skate all day long and hit the person. So I can easily hit the person, and I do.
And now fighting for the West Coast, icers. Judy
exactly.
Mikovits.
You know,
number. What's your number?
I'm that clown horse.
What's your jersey
all
number?
All day long.
Oh, wow.
Get my jersey number?
Yeah,
It used to be 9, but now I believe it's 13, lucky 13. I don't know.
Oh, exactly.
I gave them all to my boys. My nephews are all hockey players, so I could always find them with my Play It Again Sports. I used to use USSR red gloves, so I could always find the kids on the ice. And
well, that makes
it was the red gloves. So I gave all my gear away. I'm a little bit too much. I can't take that pounding anymore, and I can't dish it out like I used to. But intellectually and the sport of what we're talking about, the sport of telling these guys, they think I'm done, and that's what they said. Oh, we thought we got rid of that little problem. You know, when we popped
back
up with pandemic,
yeah,
they said, oh, we thought we stopped that when we jailed you in 2011. And we stole every piece of data out of your office. And then we republished it as something else. And it's like, gotcha. You know, and that's the fun of Plague of Corruption, because, of course, what we showed in the last chapter is what they think didn't happen, that we didn't burn all the samples, that we didn't that we didn't destroy all the data, that they didn't capture everything in my office that day, because a few honest people caught them and refused to be intimidated or bribed, let's just say Nobel Prize, into renouncing the work. And so we do that at Ending Plague, and it's just so much fun, because people don't realize, I don't care what you call me, and that's what my Cherokee Indian mother always said. I don't care what anybody calls you. You know, you do the right thing, and she'd pop me if I didn't, I guarantee. You know, I was never afraid of Fauci, because, man, my mom is like twice his size, and she'd kill you.
Oh, that's hysterical.
That's why
she
I had
play
to
hockey, too?
Ice hockey. I had to defend myself.
Yeah. Did your mom play hockey too?
No.
Oh, okay. Well,
my
curious.
Mom was not the athletic type.
Oh, okay. Well,
she was
tough.
Valedictorian of her high school.
Oh, good
but
for her.
She got a C in gym.
That's funny. But the sports metaphor is so accurate because, like I say, this is a game. This is a marathon. This is a long-term prospect. I mean, I started being an advocate at 12, you know, when I first started getting involved in politics, and it's been various different ways all the way through. And now with the culmination of this is a, you know, part art, part science, what I think happens here at Action Radio. The art is in putting things together to match a citizen legislature with a radio. The science is the actual technology, the websites, you know, the writing, the technical aspects of it. But in many ways, you have to be both. And I don't know if anybody's ever asked you that. Do you see the art aspects of what you do? Because everybody knows the science aspects of what you do, but there's an art in it too. I don't even know if you've thought about that. I'd be curious.
Oh, no, absolutely. In fact,
okay.
Kent Heckenlively, my co-author, is the art. And it's a great story about how our books got started. When I got out of jail, they literally told me, do
when
it
I got
again.
Out of jail.
They said, when funny. I got out of jail. Well, most people don't even realize this. Right now you're watching the FBI surround everybody's houses and take everybody's phone. That's exactly what they did in 2011. They took the phone away from my student, Max, who took pictures of the Watergate-style break-in of my office where they set up that I stole everything. You know, how dumb do you think? You know, I have a photographic memory. So they thought they could lock it down and keep everything from me. And Max got in there in the middle of the night of September 29th and 30th. And that's really important because the last day of the government fiscal year is September 30th. So they, the Whittemores, my bosses, had to fabricate something really quickly because, oh, they'd misappropriated federal funds. Oh, a little bit of Medicare fraud and misappropriating grant funds. And we caught them. And Max and I, we literally just didn't give it up. So I do see this. But Ken Heckenlively told me when I got out of jail, because what they told me is do it again. And next time we will kill you. And do it again was tell the truth. Because I never got a hearing. I never got anything back. I never got any of my constitutional rights back. But do it again. And so what they said is you can't talk to anybody. That's where people say, oh, were you in jail 5 days or 5 years? I was in jail 5 days. But I was told that for 5 years, the statute of limitation on felony intellectual property theft, which is, as we said at the end of the book, I stole my own brain. So I clearly didn't have anything else left at the end of the day. And so Kent, they said you can only talk to your lawyer or your immediate family. I couldn't even talk to Dr. Rossetti for 5 years about XMRV. You know, theoretically,
well, how would they know?
Without risk.
How would they know if you talk to
well,
these people?
Well, how do they know? They're in your computer file. They had my phone. They had my files. They took everything. How did they know when they surrounded my house? What were they looking for? They held me in jail. They planted the notebooks. You know, and we we've got all of this in our three books. But you see, Ken Heckenlively, so they said you can't talk to anybody who's not your lawyer or your immediate family. And of course, my family didn't understand because XMRV was going across the screen of Good Morning America. And my mom's like, she called me and she said, Judy Ann, what's going on? XMRV, all a hoax. We caught this bad, you know, and they didn't name me. But my mom knew, and so we caught the perpetrator. XMRV, all a hoax. We caught a Good Morning America, you know. And I don't watch TV, and I really and I'm like, what are you talking about, Mom? And she said it just went across, and I'm like, okay, I got a little problem. I'll call you later. So I called.
Little problem.
And so this was. Yeah, little problem. And so Kent Heckenlively called me or emailed me or texted me, and his daughter was in my family studies, and that's all. It's all in our books. So he said, "I'm a lawyer, and I'm a sixth grade science teacher." And I said, "You know," and he convinced me. He said, "You've got to write this down because your memory's great, but they're gonna try to get you." So what he did was he would start calling me on the phone and interviewing me and email. And so he would say, today I want to know about the arrest, day one in jail, day two in jail. And he literally wrote it as a legal declaration. He taped every word I said for 5 years. And it's like he had his vaccine-injured, severely injured daughter with XMRVs beyond a shadow of a doubt. My family study said, why do some people who have evidence of the virus, seropositive, PCR positive, meaning antibody for zero, PCR positive. How do they, you know, why is some member of the family deadly sick and others just fine? And this was Kent Heck, this was everybody in my family study. And it was always the cytokine storm, the sensors, when is it off, when is it on? So he said, Judy, and so we wrote it all. So they're actually legal documents. The FBI has had every one of them since May of 2014 when we finished the book. So we called Frank Rossetti, had by then been exiled from the National Cancer Institute. He was forced to retire. He was forced to retire without so much as a luncheon, and he discovered all of this. All of this. I was just I was the auto mechanic from hell. I was a technician. I could put an experiment together
so
I could play a baseball game. I'm the catcher in the baseball game. Why? I'm the coach. I see the entire field. I stood there. We tell these stories in the book. But anyway, Kent said, and when he finished the book in 2014 and on around May, it was impressed. And I literally hired an editor to edit the whole thing because the grammar was so bad. Kent would end a sentence with a preposition, and I'm from University of Virginia, and my high school teacher, Mrs. Peabody, would just roll over in her grave if I spoke English that way. I never end a sentence with a preposition. I say, when you say, where's the party at, that's not good. You say, where's the party at, biatch? And so this is how you... So he said, Judy, And he pointed out Dr. David Lewis's book, Science for Sale. That's the fraud and the whistleblower in the EPA. And I said, yeah, I love that book. He said, Judy, can't read it. It won't help them. So all of our books are written like these suspense thriller novels, as was Plague of Corruption. How did we know, you know, restoring faith to the promise of science? Our promise isn't in science. You know, our faith isn't in science. Our faith is in God, and God's put it all together so that we can understand it. You know, scientism is Tony Fauci and the cult. And what we've been talking about all week long is we're not going to exchange one cult from another. None of this is imaginary. It's planned. There are poisons, viruses. The other word is poison for virus. Radiation poisoning. Oh, coronavirus. We're getting hammered in our environment with radiation poisoning. And these signals and these chemical poisonings like glyphosate and Stephanie Seneff in her beautiful book, Toxic Legacy, Toxin of Glyphosate. And so you see the poisoning. It causes cancers. Wait a minute. It causes the same kind of cancers. We're seeing the explosion, as I discussed on the Stu Peters show the other day. So he started the show.
And one of our reporters. We lost one of our reporters, Dr. Pry. Yeah.
And he said, now they're saying climate change causes cancer, the explosion of cancer. And I'm laughing because we show you in
Ending Plague. Wait, did the dinosaurs have cancer? Did cancer kill off the dinosaurs when it warmed up?
Right. So I just hold up Stephanie. You mean the climate change caused by the poisoning of our environment with glyphosate and the plastics and the heavy metals and the 5G and the radiation poisoning from all these satellites and all these fires? So I had some fun with that. And climate change, right. You know, God, we're not plants. We don't do photosynthesis. We don't put the asbestos on our face if we take it out of the ceiling. We had a lot of fun that day. Anyway,
I've been having fun with climate change because I started calling fossil fuels organic fuels just to really piss people off. And so these are organic, you know, and you want to burn as much organic fuel as you can. Well, I know, but it actually makes sense. But it's also, you know, tweaking the nose of all the climate change wackos, because now I'm saying to them, and this is something I got from CO2 Coalition and Gregory Wrightstone, who was on here before, that when you burn organic fuel, you're putting water and carbon dioxide, you know, back into the atmosphere. And when that carbon dioxide comes back down again, that's the carbon that the plants breathe in. So you're actually completing the carbon chain by burning organic fuels. It's good for the environment. Now you tell people that, and they're like, what?
You're exactly right. Organic, like Frank Rossetti, you thought, oh, that's ridiculous. Everything's organic. Well, not everything has carbon in it. But yes, carbon is, you know, organic, and everything is, you know, when we do composting and we break things down, we don't break them down. The oxygen is released into the air. The carbon dioxide is soaked up by plants, and their chlorophyll does the metabolism. You know, so the Joni Mitchell song, Paved Paradise and Put Up a Parking Lot. You know, you can't put up all these 5G towers and continue to blow out so you don't have enough plant to absorb all the poisoning. You know, all the nitrogen poisoning and oxygen and the disruption of the balance of nitrogen, oxygen. I mean, I'm not God, and I don't lean on my own understanding. I don't know why 29.1% oxygen in the air. I know you don't blow 100% oxygen into the lungs of a man who has COPD and can't breathe and absorb it, because the uric acid is built up too much, the lactic acid. You know, he was a racehorse. So he, you know, lactic acid is when you're not making enough energy, you know, because you have, it feeds back on the muscles and you cramp up and you're in pain and the muscles won't fire. The signaling won't fire. So you're looking at signaling from gases, you know, not from carbons. The carbons are to pull all the waste. So yeah, the climate change, it's called weather, and we're destroying
weather. That's perfect. I'm gonna steal that one. That's perfect. Yeah, climate change. Yeah,
sorry, I stole that from my identical twin.
Oh, that's funny. But you know, we said that too. What was it? What am I fond of saying? I forgot something about. I'll think of it in a minute. I have so many things going in my head right now because I'm writing down all these different questions for you. But yeah. You know, yeah, it's weather. Oh, I know it was. You know, people say, well, are you an expert? Do you know for sure? I said, look, I'm not a meteorologist, but I know when it's raining. You know, so
yeah, exactly. And I'm not a biologist, but I know our X chromosome is incredibly important for regulating the expression of all those viruses and poisons you're exposing to it. It's not our Y chromosome, folks. It's our X chromosome. That's the epigenetic regulation. And men only get one, so they're already crippled, and their NO is running too many organs at the same time. So what you can't feel, I told my husband near the end of his life, I'm like, honey, you can't fuel the brain and the other at the same time. That Viagra is going to hurt your brain sooner. Actually, well, that's real enough. But anyway.
Okay, fine. Well, here's a question, though. But, you know, because men have that one X chromosome, so we've got the whole burden on one X. And yet guys live, you know, good long lives. You know, we're healthy. I'm, you know, 62, and I was bike riding yesterday. I'm going to hit the gym today, you know, and, you know, I got through heart surgery to fix a valve and, you know, basically doubled my blood flow. So I'm trucking along, you know, but I only have one X chromosome. So how bad is that to not have that second X chromosome for men?
Oh, it's all good because God's got it all together. You know, God's got us totally on the expression. That's the epigenetics. That's DNA methylation. Mm-hmm. What is that? Put a carbon and three hydrogens, the methyl group, CH3, the on and off switch for your genes. So men get all the on and off of the genes that are on the X chromosome and that are regulating that endogenous virome I love to talk about, God-given. Our God.
So we get the good X chromosome? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, you get – yeah, everybody. So they're not the same. Like, you don't inherit one from mom and one from dad. You do, but when you're born, the methyl groups wipe off the whole X chromosome and they repopulate it. And since I'm an identical twin, we're genetically identical. These diseases absolutely are not genetic. You know, there are very few inborn errors of metabolism, you know, the breakdown of nutrients to supply your body. Very few until recent years. At least when I was in college, my class on inborn errors of metabolism only had like phenylketonuria, which is where you did a heel stick of a newborn, and too much phenylalanine, phenylketonuria, in the ketones in the urine would feed back. You'd get too many ketones, and they'd cause mental retardation and other things. So all you had to do, we'd do a needle stick and test for the genetics of the gene that doesn't allow the metabolism of phenylalanine. You just test for that, and you wouldn't give that baby foods with phenylalanine in it. And it's one of the first, and so they'd outgrow it when their brain finished growing in their gut, and those first 3 years of life, which are really critical, never to ingest anything. In a pregnant woman, this is when Jim Thorpe comes on, and we start to...
Yeah, it's just you and me right now. This is a great chance for me to just talk to you, because this is fascinating fun. I've got a bunch of notes here, but if you had to describe carbon, because we all hear about that we're a carbon-based life form, you know, what exactly, and it, because it's carbon dioxide, it's a gas, it's a solid in us, it's you know, part of this whole entire chain, you know, it's carbohydrates, it's in hydrocarbons. I'm going to talk about that in a little bit. That's where I'm leading with this discussion. But what exactly is carbon?
Well, carbon's just one of the basic building blocks of all of life is carbon.
Is it a mineral? Is
carbon,
organic? Is well, it what do you, you know? I mean, you may not have a good definition. I know I'm surprising you with this because folks,
me,
we don't
yeah,
rehearse
let me
this.
Try
okay,
to define
this
is carbon.
Yeah.
And,
okay.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Okay.
Yeah,
let me
I'm fascinated.
See if I
Take
can
your time.
Define what is carbon. I'm going to Google. I'm going to ask Google what is carbon.
Okay.
I have stumped
Captain Mikovits. Hockey
well,
player and captain of our team here.
It's a key element. So I'm trying to figure out how to say it.
That makes sense.
The atomic number is 6. So it's on the periodic table of key elements. This is a chemical that is part of our chemical makeup of life as God's put in all Earth. It's
well, that's
not
why I was curious.
Metal.
Okay.
And it's not metal. It's not tetravalent. It is non-metallic and tetravalent. And what that means, the valence, if you remember your basic chemistry, it's how many atoms can bind to it. So when you just mentioned in carbon dioxide, you put two oxygens binding to two of those four sites, and the rest are double bonds. So it's an atom, a base, making four electrons available to form the covalent chemical bond. It belongs to group 14 of the periodic table. So you see, this is its basic chemistry, and so that it makes up only 0.025% of the Earth's crust. And there's a bunch of isotopes, that's when it's a different form in nature. 12 carbon, 13 carbon is stable. 14 carbon is a radionuclide. It's radioactive, and the half-life is like 5,700 years, and now I've got it on Wikipedia. So it's one of the few elements that God started that the Earth absolutely has to have carbon. It's the 15th most abundant element in the Earth's crust, and the fourth most abundant element in the universe by mass or weight after hydrogen, helium, and oxygen. And those are all gases. So,
I got the periodic table right in front of me right now. We're going back to, you know, high school chemistry here. But what's interesting is that carbon is the first solid, I think, unless beryllium is.
No, you're right. I think carbon is the first. I don't have the periodic table up. I'm just looking. I'm trying to look at group 14. Here, I'll pull the periodic table up. But it's like, and look at group 14 again, because this is why I frustrated in all of this, because I really didn't want to relearn the Krebs cycle. I really hate peroxynitrite,
I just like to talk about things that everybody assumes they know about and then ask a question. Then it's like, well, oh, wait a minute. You know, and they find they don't know about it. And that's what makes it so much fun.
Right. Oh, and you know about it if you're somebody like me or even Jim or any of the doctors. Yeah, we're taught the periodic table, and it's almost like you're taught the Bible. It is, therefore. You know? And so it is. And you don't yep. lean on your own understanding. You just take it in faith. And actually, if you talk to any of my professors or high school teachers or anything like that, I was a horrible chemistry student. I got 3 D's or 4 D's at the University of Virginia, and I was a chemistry major. And one of those professors, and it's in our last book, you know, uh-huh. he kept flunking me, giving me the same professor gave me all of the D's. And he kept saying,
you'll never get anywhere in chemistry, Judy Mikovits. Why are you even trying? You'll never amount to anything in science.
You're not going to get a degree. You're not going to get a degree from this university in chemistry. And I said, I don't care what you said, because I'm going to get a degree in chemistry. Now, my thing wasn't physical chemistry or uh-huh. in physics. I was, and what I couldn't do, the test he would always ask, he right. would say, go from 3 carbons in an oxygen to cholesterol in 4 steps. Not 3 steps, not 10 steps. Yeah, and I couldn't do it. That's understanding organic chemistry, things like Diels-Alder reactions, all those things that students hate. And so mm-hmm. these are prerequisites for medical school or anything else. And that enables people like, you know, the doctors to theoretically understand the drugs in the interaction. So, you know, I did get a degree in chemistry, much to his dismay, I'm sure, at this point in time. And,
you have a PhD in biochemistry, don't you?
I do. My undergraduate degree was in chemistry with a specialization in biology, and it was okay. a Bachelor of Arts. Because the University of Virginia, between 1976 and 80, when I was there, mm-hmm. Did not have a degree in biochemistry. It was so of my 132 hours, I had 120 of them in either biology, chemistry, physics, math, and or German, so I could speak the language chemists spoke. You had to take German as a prerequisite because, and in fact, one of my friends just brought me 1800s or maybe later, early 1900s pharmacy book, Pharmacopoeia. And I'm like looking up purines and fat, and I didn't get my work done. I'm here at the Chira Fest in Boise, Idaho this weekend. I'll give a shout out, 16th and 17th starting tomorrow. So we were driving, why I didn't answer you the last couple of days, and why I was a little late, driving to Boise, Idaho, because I'm going to teach, that the simple solutions to all of this is in our food if we really appreciate G proteins, you know, this sensors on our cells for light and smell and sound. The virus isn't dysregulating the taste of sense and smell. That's not the infection. That's a sensor. It never gets in the cell. It's not infect. It's a sensor that just touches the surface of the cell, and that's a G protein, and it does regulate things like pheromones, things like, you know you love the way a perfume smells. You can't see that. That's why we've been saying in the masks, come on, folks. That's when it's not a solid. It's a gas going right through there, or it's a piece or a part that you're going to sense, and all you're going to do is cripple your ability with the mask because you're not getting enough oxygen. And on the way out, carbon dioxide in the air, carbon with 2 oxygens on it, carbon dioxide is in the air at 0.4%. That's what right. you breathe in, because the plants are metabolizing carbon dioxide. You breathe out with every breath 4%, 100 times more. And so
where's that carbon coming from then? Where's the carbon coming from in your breath? If we're breathing in nitrogen, oxygen is like, what, 72% nitrogen, 22%
carbon,
oxygen, everything else.
Carbon dioxide. Yeah, carbon dioxide from your breath. You're breathing it in from the air.
Right.
But if you're breathing out more
carbon dioxide, is your body metabolizing and then putting out carbon dioxide? How does it work?
It's actually a poison. So your body's taking the oxygens in 29 points.
Okay. Got it.
And so metabolism, so you breathe in 29.1% oxygen
Right.
From the air. That's the atmospheric. Then there's nitrogen, and then only 0.4%. So in air is nitrogen, carbon, oxygen. That's what's in our air.
So the nitrogen,
by God, and I.
But nitrogen doesn't do anything for us. Right? Nitrogen
absolutely.
Doesn't. Like, or does. What does the nitrogen do for
us? Oh, it's absolutely critical to signaling. Everything given by God does something for us.
That makes sense.
It's there. So you breathe in 29.1% oxygen, and you breathe out 16. So what happens to the 5%? You metabolize it.
That's absorbed, right? From your lungs to your bloodstream, red blood cells?
You're breaking down food, yes. Your microorganisms are using it to break down branched chain amino acids, all amino acids. You're using it for food. Your mitochondria are using it for energy, remember, to produce that 36 molecules of ATP. And this is how I explained to Pastor Rob McCoy why you don't wear a mask. I said, we're not plants. We don't do photosynthesis. In only two breaths out, and so you breathe out 4% oxygen. When you get to 8%, and this is what Del Bigtree and many of the others show, the alarm goes off, you know, that you're hypoxic. You don't have enough air. And so we have a protein in our body. It's actually a transcription factor. It starts the writing of the gene, transcription, right. The DNA into RNA and translated into protein. The transcription factor is called hypoxia-inducible factor 1 alpha. And that's two breaths of carbon out of that amount in a mask will turn on that factor. And it'll say, danger, 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 I'm suffocating. And it literally is a blowtorch on cancer. And so anybody, and this is what I scream at doctors, anybody who made a cancer patient wear a mask, you know, it should lose their medical license. Unless it was a silver mask. Well, that was the one I was arrested for wearing on the airplane because I have an obstructive airway disease. My husband had COPD. If you cannot breathe, chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, it's an inflammatory disease. It's not caused only by cigarette smoking. And this is what you're seeing on the TV today. So why in your right, your laws? We need those commercials off that TV.
I emailed you about that. We actually have a person that wanted to do it. What I'd like to do is get you two together, possibly on the air Okay. All right. I'll email our person back and then see if we can do that.
My
I got Josie
email
in line.
Got totally hacked and shut down in the last couple of weeks. And so I got it up in place again yesterday, and it's a treasure trove. It's so much fun.
Okay.
It's like, man, I wrote that in 2015. Like, how did I know? And I just love to watch God work because, you know how I talk. I'm like Brian Artis. I love that man because we just go off in these places, and it's like, why did God make oxygen 21? This is my
fascination. I think it's 22%. I think. I mean, we can look it up, but it seems to remember 72 nitrogen, 22 oxygen, and then, you know, like 1 or 2% everything else. This is fascinating.
Yeah.
Where do I want to go with
Kent has that in all our books. See, this is what Kent does. Kent Heckenlively writing our book. He said, also, I'm a lawyer when I got out of jail, and I'm a sixth grade science teacher, as you know. And so if they can't understand it, Judy, they can't read it. I love Dr. David Lewis's book, Science for Sale, but most people could read it. And I'm like, well, okay, Kent, I'll give you that. And so after I did the full edits of our book, Skyhorse, the publishing editors, took only like 2% of it. So I paid the last $12,000 I had after I got out of jail, and they took everything from me. And, of course, the lawyers wouldn't defend me. And, of course, I never got a hearing. That's all in our book, the 5 days in jail. So Kent interspersed what it's like for a 53-year-old woman you know, to be jailed, her house surrounded by the FBI, everything taken out of it, a new narrative. You know, how does a Christian woman respond? You know, and now we're seeing it everywhere. Oh, we're
humor.
Seeing it with Simone Biles. We're seeing with it. Yeah.
Well, you know, it's
it
funny. I was joking
Trump.
On the show yesterday. Maybe I shouldn't do this, but then my title of the show yesterday included, you know, where's my FBI raid? What, aren't I important enough? Isn't the show big enough? I'm here. Of course, if the FBI wants to know what I'm thinking, listen. Like everybody else, you know, and if the FBI KGB wants to call us, we're right here, 215-383-3832. So FBI KGB and your Gestapo leader there, Merrick Garland, I'm here. What more, if you want to know what I'm thinking, what I'm doing, ask me. It's very simple. We got Josie. Josie Line has been really patient. I'm going to bring her on. And we got Jim Tharp.
Oh, wonderful.
Live too.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
I'll grab
Josie.
Coffee.
Oh, yeah. Go grab some coffee. Well, Josie probably has a question
hey,
for you anyway. Yeah, Josie, go ahead.
Yes, I do. Good morning. Good morning, Judy. How are you?
She's getting coffee. She'll be back.
Hello?
She's getting coffee.
Oh, I'm wonderful, Josie. Good to hear you again.
We're just like one big happy family here, folks. This is informal radio. Yeah. Go ahead.
And you know, for a Latina woman that I am, guess what? I don't drink coffee. Everybody says, what, are you weird or something?
Well, don't you know Juan Valdez? Aren't you all friends with
no.
Juan Valdez? Fine Colombian coffee.
No,
Juan Valdez, mountain grown. Oh, that's like hey, Ricardo Montalban. Yeah, go ahead.
I have a question for Judy. A new girl that is working for me here, her nephew, 9 years old, back to school, and from one day to the other, he's having so much pressure in his head, and then he cannot walk. And it is crazy.
He got the jab, right?
Took him to the
he got
ER.
A COVID shot?
No, he didn't get the COVID shot. He just got his routine going back to school shots.
Which are?
No, you can't get any shot, honey. No. We're seeing tons of problems. Every shot is doing the same damage. Routine going back to school shot is how we've destroyed our children. You never give a child anything when their brain's on fire. So at any rate, I can give you one simple solution, one good solution to start with. The powder food formulation called Cardio Miracle. Because what it's going to do is it's going to allow his body to make nitric oxide, the gas, and it's going to relax his endothelium in his brain, in his heart. It's going to relax everything so that the blood can flow better because it's restricted by the shot. As you turn on the inflammation with every shot, you go and you said the key here, I think you said riding his bike to school. When you exercise, and please, never wear a mask, ever. So when you exercise, you know, then you can't think because you're using, your muscles are making the ATP. This is what we were just talking about, rather than your rather than being able to utilize the gas. And then what happens is the ATP gets outside the cell, and it's a danger signal because the shots turned on the flame, the fire of inflammation. And so what that does is ATP becomes a signaling molecule, and the cell releases it, and you don't make the energy because it says, look, we got to send the fire trucks to the fire. So there's two things that we use in our store, shop.therealdrjudy.com, and I take this every day. There's actually four things, but the two things you can do, mix one scoop of Cardio Miracle and one scoop of Proline Greens, and it goes right into what Greg and I were talking about, why. The Proline Greens have chlorophyll. A lot of, and it's called chlorella. And what they do is they capture the, I won't go into the biochemistry. So, but basically the chlorophyll, you're eating the plant and it's pulling the toxin away from you. So we don't do photosynthesis, but if you eat the plant, and it's a clean plant, it cannot be loaded with glyphosate, which is why I do these two powders, and they just dissolve in water, and then you've got your minerals, and then you've got your signalings, and the blood will flow, everything will flow in and out of the cells, and he'll be able to detox. So this is what's going on. He's got to detox those shots, and he's got to make sure he doesn't over-exercise, because you're injecting synthetic viruses. And those viruses, remember, when you got a virus when you were in school, you didn't play sports. And your fever was only 99, or in many cases, you don't get a fever because the children's innate immune systems are so strong, but they only notice under stress. So he's under stress, riding his bike to school. Try a little Proline Greens and Cardio Miracle and glass of water before he leaves.
Dr. Judy, she was telling me that that he had a lot of pressure in his head for a few times.
Correct.
He went to the he went to the ER a couple of times, and they couldn't find nothing wrong with him. But then he started getting weak.
Because they're stupid.
Yeah.
Don't go to the ER. The Cardio Miracle will relax the vasculature. You're restricting the blood flow to his brain.
That's what headache is, right?
Doing.
Isn't that what a headache is restricted blood flow? Okay.
And the lymphatics. The lymphatics are all the fluid in your body that's not blood. Well, you don't get a gas exchange through your cell membrane. So you constrict it so the poison won't go in your brain. So that the headaches will go away with the Proline Greens and the Cardio Miracles. We have other things if they're migraines, one called lymphomyosat, which is a natural product formulation that will relax and allow the lymphatics to pump. He's absolutely got to sleep at night. You want cannabinoid formulation, CBD. That's why we added the CBDs to the Z-Stack to get the vitamin C, antioxidant, the zinc, you know, pull the toxins out, because our food is no longer food. It's poison.
Mm-hmm.
If you eat vitamin C from orange juice and you use things made from corn, you're pulling glyphosate. It's a vacuum cleaner pulling toxins into your cells and changing the signal.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what, before you got on the line, that's what Greg and I were having a little chemistry 101.
Oh, it's fun. I'm going to ask Jim what carbon is too, because we're going to continue. So you're saying orange juice, how about my Tropicana orange juice that's not from concentrate or anything like that? Is that still not as good for vitamin C?
No. You want your vitamin C to come from Acerola cherries. I can't ever say that, but that's what's in Cardio Miracle, and that's what's in Proline Green. So the orange juice is actually hurting you, because it's got all that glyphosate in corn syrup. Look at the labels. Fresh squeezed orange juice, totally different. But I still pop a little Cardio Miracle in that as well. So we have to clean up our food, because Bill Gates made it poison. Your plants have immune systems too. And plants metabolize for us. That's why they metabolize the CO2 and pull it out of our oxygen, out of our air, out of our atmosphere. That's why it's only 0.4% in and 4% out. So that, you know, we don't eat GMO plants. We don't inject them, and we don't ingest them. That's biblical. It's Daniel. We'll prove to you we're the best and the brightest, and we won't ingest or inject. I don't know how they said it in Daniel's time, but how they spelled it, but, you know, they're pretty close. So we won't inject or ingest GMO. Genetically modified plants are poison, because they don't do the job. They have an immune system and they can't. So we're all told it's plant-based. No, it's poison. As my friends at Nutritional Frontiers say, Jamie, we had him on the show before, you know, there's junk and there's food. There's no such thing as junk food.
So
we're poisoning ourselves. We get fatter because we hold the toxins in fat. We turn up the CB1 receptor, which is in the mesenchymal stem cells for growth. And that makes your fat cells bigger. That was my work at Upjohn when they tried to do GMO cow milk. And my work showed that the GMO cow milk would make us fatter and less healthy, because it changes our from the blood stem cell to the mesenchymal stem cell, and it turns up so that we store the toxins in fat because our God won't let us die. So we're just poisoning ourselves, and we can see that we're getting fatter and fatter and fatter. And when you exercise, this is why fat people are susceptible to the COVID shot, the poison, because we made them fat. We set them up. We know they can't metabolize it. We know they can't detox. And then we just go ping with that little shot, and they die. And then it's all their fault because they ate that junk and they didn't exercise. If they go out and exercise, they're going to die because they cannot utilize the oxygen. So you have to use things like sauna in infrared. You have to sit outside in the sun and sweat, because if you have these XMRVs being expressed and you exercise, I guarantee you the first thing to go will be your brain, and then your heart. You know, your muscles are going to stop, chronic fatigue syndrome. You know, they couldn't exercise to save their life. And I know that because I got the XMRVs. I was part of the experiment where they showed the lab workers all got sick. That's chapter 8 or so of our first book, Play. But I don't have AIDS, and I don't have lung cancer. I'm on the way, and I have I have Barrett's esophagus, an inflammatory disease of the throat. That's a precancerous condition. That's why I wrote those affidavits and said, you know, we will not be wearing that mask. And I filed that lawsuit against Gavin Newsom, Fauci in 2020, and Robert Levin, the head of the public health in Ventura, so in California, where we lived. And so when they murdered my husband and called it COVID, literally took him in the hospital. You know the story by now with Mickey Willis's film. Starved him, stopped him from getting water and his medication, his indomethacin. Oh, what does that do? Oh, it's an old drug for gout. Uric acid drives the oxygen to the tissue. So they took all his medicines away and starved him and basically and definitely killed him. So what? And then set out a death certificate that said it was ARDS and all of this stuff. And the good on it is God is good. We got an autopsy, thanks to Bobby Kennedy and others, on the 15th, and the death certificate was filed on the 10th of December, and he died on the 1st. Well, how much mRNA is a dead man making? The answer is zero, because that's the definition of death. If you can't make proteins or drive oxygen production, you're dead. So with your mitochondria. And so the death certificate was filed on the 10th and the autopsy on the 15th. And so you can absolutely prove beyond a shadow of a doubt by looking at his cells that he had no ischemia. He had nothing in his brain. He didn't have AFib before he died. He had AFib. They caused AFib. Your heart doesn't one day forget, go into afibrillation and forget how to beat. That's because it doesn't get the right signals. It gets too many inflammatory signals, and you can't turn the flame off. That's why you use budesonide in the lungs and not a general steroid. You don't generally signaling because there's too much inflammation in your body. You deliver it directly, pulmicort, to the lungs. And we were able to get that in there and wake him up and bring him back to life like Lazarus. And everybody said, oh, that's a miracle. So when they filed the fraudulent death certificate, that's RICO. That's retaliation. That's premeditated murder. We're going to call it COVID, and we're going to shut Judy Mikovits up forever. Ha ha, see how you like it. Your husband died of COVID too. No, he didn't, because the autopsy absolutely proves it. And when the death certificate signed by Robert Levin is a total lie under penalty of perjury, I've been saying for the last month, arrest Robert Levin and Newsom for premeditated murder of David Nolde and Shannon Nolde as well, by refusing to give her ivermectin. And that's what I said on Stu Peters. She had cancer. Ivermectin is anti-cancer. So you see, when we teach the doctors, which is our job, and the people to see the crimes being committed by these criminals, and this is what got us distracted all week long, is, you know, the little game of mass psychosis. oh, there's no evil. We all just thought ourselves safe. No, here's the evil. You murdered a man who refused to deny his God, and the autopsy proved his God. I mean, I cried when I saw that autopsy because I had him on NO. I had on cardiomiracle, proline creams. We were taking everything for the last few years because he was the most vulnerable. And the reason I cried when I saw that autopsy is I said to myself, oh, my God, it worked. You know, our God has everything we need. It worked. That man, there wasn't a polyp anywhere. He didn't have ischemia in his brain. He didn't have renal failure. Everything was working except that little green lung from the COPD and the Pseudomonas aeruginosa, the bacterial infection. So they wrote COVID pneumonia. And interestingly enough, on the autopsy, whether this pathologist was being paid to say, he had COVID positive when he didn't have any other RNA virus expressed, not coronavirus, not influenza virus, not respiratory syncytial virus. So if, let's just go with the if, he had COVID being expressed, it wasn't the monkey one, SARS-CoV-2, I can prove that. It could.
So why did you go to the hospital, Judy? Why did your husband go to the hospital in the first place? Okay.
He had to. He had COPD and the Santa Ana winds. That's a very east blowing wind.
Yeah, I know what they are. Yeah.
On the ocean and the dust. This was the worst year. And so I could not. We don't have air conditioning and we didn't have an oxygen tank. It was a concentrator. So the dust. In the Desert Storm, this was some of our work in Desert Storm when the military were getting PTSD and things from an inflammatory disease, post-traumatic stress disorder, which is a molecular disease. They didn't think themselves that way. And this is the mass psychosis. So this is exactly what we're talking about. No, XMRVs cause psychosis. There is a cause. We don't think it. There are molecules of emotion that control our brains, and they absolutely plan this pandemic. It's not just bad management at HHS. And yes, this NIH active that came up, oh, in 2017, oh, and Robert Malone, you know, oh, and he's funded to drive Ebola and Zika. Show me the data. I want complete transparency because as my friend Ryan Cole says, truth plus transparency equals trust. We are not going to trust the changing of the guard where somehow these MDs save us once again and say, oh, yeah, they can have ivermectin now. Uh-uh. Not until you pay for the murder of Shannon Nolde and many, many other cancer patients and everybody else who you denied ivermectin and let them die punching chemotherapy into their bodies. Uh-uh. Not a 42-year-old woman, a mother of a 4-year-old and a 9-year-old. I won't rest until these people admit what they did to us. It is not a mass psychosis. We didn't think ourselves sick. We didn't think ourselves sick. These things control your brain, the signaling of your brain. You know, you put somebody in a mask and they can't think. They, you know, yeah, right.
Oh,
course,
wait a minute. That's interesting. If you want to dumb down society, it looks like one of the fastest ways to do it is to put everybody in a mask, especially the compliant people. I didn't think of that until you just said it. But that is so.
Sure,
these masters are a psychological warfare technique. And Jim Thorpe, I promise, you know, if you want to jump in the conversation, we'll get you in here. But can you explain the so not only that, because you explained earlier about how they're like a carbon dioxide trap. So you put a mask on, you think it's to keep stuff out, but really is doing is keeping your breath in and makes you rebreathe the carbon dioxide that you've already exhaled. Right? Is that how the mask works?
Yeah, and that's your weight. That's your waste products, and it turns on. That's a danger signal to your body. Wait a minute, we can't do that. We can't do that. So it turns on that protein, HIF-1 alpha, and that's a blowtorch if you have a cancer. It says, go fight a fire. There's something going on. You're not exhaling. That's we, God, did not put a flap over our face.
So too much carbon dioxide gets cancer going. What is an antioxidant then? Can you explain how that works with cancer? And is that carbon dioxide related or is that something different or is it oxygen related?
An antioxidant, so an oxidant drives oxygen. It produces oxygen. An antioxidant stops it. Inflammation starts with a flame with oxygen, like we just said, and, okay. and oxygen in the wrong form. So an antioxidant. So we take antioxidants from plants, and there are many different classes of antioxidants. You know, vitamin C is an extracellular antioxidant. Glutathione is between the cellular membrane and the nuclear membrane, major antioxidant that our body makes out of three amino acids. Glutamate, L-cysteine, and glycine. So when glycine with glyphosate has two phosphates group on it, we can't make the major antioxidants intracellular. So this is why we're getting sick. And you can't force glutathione back as easily, just like you can't force the branch chain amino acids into cells to be metabolized without sulfur. So glyphosate, as Dr. Stephanie Seneff taught me, and it's all in our last book, Ending Plague, we discussed. Stephanie and I have been working together for more than a decade trying to understand each other, and one day we're going to get there. She told me a couple at Autism One, she said, Judy, we're almost there, we're going to understand each other sooner or later.
Well, this is what's so fascinating about these different specialties that you all have too, is that everybody brings something, you know, to the table here, and the crossovers are fascinating, from what you know, what Jim Thorpe knows, what Brian Artis knows, you know, even what Josie knows from hospital talking to people, and what I, you know, figure out from legislative stuff. It's just all these crossovers are fascinating. So everybody has something.
And antioxidants stop inflammatory damage to the DNA. Okay.
So antioxidants. So the more antioxidants, you know, you, I guess from different sources, you know, if it fights inflation, inflammation. I've got economics on my brain. That's a good thing. So the more antioxidants.
But too much of a good thing is too much.
Okay.
Too much of a good thing is too much. We need a little bit of flame, and the endocannabinoid system, your God-given cannabinoid system, is the dimmer switch on the flame. It's a sense. There are sensors on the surface of cells. So when you get too much of a good thing, I always say too much of a good thing is too much. It's all about balance. It's all, God's given us balance. You know, the first guy to run a marathon died. If you put too much stress on your muscles, on various tissue compartments in your body, you will die. So an athlete tears the muscle before it builds up with the repair process that sends wound healing. Oops, there's a little problem. Let's go fix that muscle. And so wound healing gone awry can block blood flow and can cause fibrosis. Oh, those fibers we're pulling out of people. That's TGF-beta at the blood stem cell, and that the signaling is too strong. It's what's called accelerated myeloproliferative. Let me not say it with medical terms because I don't intend to confuse. It's accelerated inflammation, accelerated aging. It's a new field they just created called inflammaging. So we're seeing people, as I said on Sue's show the other day, 20-year-olds in the military with triple negative breast cancer. You know, that's one of the deadliest breast cancers that there are, and that's because the military are hammered with vaccines. And you know, anything, you know, too much of a good thing is too much. You know, and this is what we heard, was that idiot Fauci say, oh, one day the arm's going to be one shot for one and one shot for the other. No, you can't.
I wanted to throw things when I heard that. Yeah. But you said cannabinoid.
I throw pillows. My husband taught me not to throw things.
Are they my pillows?
Yes, I definitely throw my pillows, for sure.
Yeah.
And my pillows are in my house.
Well, I wanted to tell, in fact, I'm going to tell my friends at Lindell TV, they ought to start a rumor that all the pillows on Air Force One are my pillows, and Joe Biden is sleeping on my pillows. I think just to piss him off, I think it'd be funny. We better get Jim in here. we're going to run over. This is going to become the – which actually is kind of fun. This is like the Judy Mikovits show today. So you should do your own show. You'd be great at it. You might not even take calls. Who knows?
No.
Jim Thorpe.
I actually hate it, Greg, but I love you, so I do it.
Oh, you are such a sweetheart. This is great. I can't believe we missed each other. We're in the same town. We missed each other. We didn't meet. We'll work on that. When I get my jet, you know, I'll fly out and take you flying. We'll fly upside down, and you can tell me stories. It'll be great. Jim Thorpe. You want to go flying too? I know you're there. Should we give him a minute to unmute? Okay. Jim, whenever you want to join us, feel free. Carbon, I want to get back to carbon because this is fascinating to me. Carbon.
Hey,
carbon,
Greg,
Yo, you have a question? Okay, go ahead. We'll get back to our biochemistry.
I just wanted to share from the 9-year-old little boy. Uh-huh. He had a lot of pressure, like I was telling Judy. And then the only thing the hospital was saying, oh, we don't find nothing wrong. The only thing that could be wrong is because he had COVID months and months ago, and maybe that's the problem. And I know better because Dr. Judy has talked about all the vaccines that they're deadly, all the ones. And the little boy, he's starting to walk, but very weak. He gets so tired right away. So it's very sad what we're seeing in the schools. Are telling them that you cannot start school unless you get vaccinated. So what do parents have to do? I mean, this is sad what's happening to our country.
Take them out of school. Put them into schools, but the but is, and again, give this little boy Cardio Miracle and Proline Greens and a drink in the morning. Yeah. He'll start walking again. But he cannot get shot. That's why Ben Marble did hashtag no more shots. Every shot is killing you. We never test them. We don't test them together. This is the work of Del Bigtree and the Informed Consent Action Network. He showed in 2019, not a single placebo-controlled safety study for any vaccine on the schedule since 1986. These are not tested. They're all experiments. Their experiment is succeeding to destroy our children. Take them out of the schools.
Yeah. Thank you, Judy.
Well, we have some school choice bills. In fact, Arizona has a great model for it. You know, they actually have a situation where you don't have to go to a government school. So that would be a huge help. Anybody else wants to join us, you know, feel free, 215-383-3832. But we started something, well, in fact, I just, you know, they're calling a check out here. The reason I wanted to bring up the thing about carbon, why I find this so fascinating, is that I always try to look at things that people say they assume they know about but really don't. Excuse me, one of those is carbon. And carbon's everywhere. It's I didn't know it was like one of the first, probably the first solid element. And carbon makes carbon dioxide. But there's two other things it makes. And Judy, I don't know how much you know or don't know or want to speculate. I mean, feel free. But the two things that I've talked about before that I find very similar anatomically, atomic structure, are hydrocarbons and carbohydrates. They're both fuels, but they're both completely different, even though they're kind of made up of the same stuff. A hydrocarbon makes petroleum. Carbon and hydrogen. It doesn't have oxygen on it because if it became oxygenated, it would be a carbohydrate. Have you noticed the similarity between the hydrocarbons, the petroleums, oil, coal, natural gas, things that we burn that put carbon dioxide back into the air, and a carbohydrate, which is carbon, hydrogen, and oxygen? I think glucose is what? C6H12O6. Six carbons, 12 hydrogens and 6 oxygens stuck on there. Have you noticed a difference in, are there similarities in biology, evolution, the way that we're using them, the burning? In other words, combusting a carbohydrate, is that similar to combusting a hydrocarbon? Because the only difference is oxygen. I know this is kind of a wacky question for you, but I'm curious what you think.
Well, you're providing only in that, you're providing fuel to a machine.
Okay.
You know, and this is, it's a great analogy, and we've used it for a long time with the car. Well, the fuel that the machine human being uses and other animals is the carbohydrate, you know, glucose, you know, that's what you use to fuel. So the hydrocarbons, and they're necessary to fuel machine. It's not just petroleums, but it's natural gas. So even to pretend, you know, you use natural gas, you know, how do you put the electricity in your car? You know, we need hydrocarbons. We need fossil fuels. God gave it all to us. So we have enough energy in the United States to fuel every human being that wants to be here. And God gave us enough. We don't have to preserve favored species in the struggle for life, which is the goal of the Darwin and the cult of Tony Fauci, scientism. Mm-hmm. We don't have to do that. There's no favored species. God gave every human the ability to live according to their environment. Vitamin D sensors near the equator are different than vitamin D sensors in Sweden. One's an amplifier, one's a resistant. You just think of the human body as a machine, and you fuel it. And you fuel it with carbohydrates. You fuel it with fats. You fuel it with proteins. This is biochemistry. It's not the same. That was the only other job I was offered when I got out of college, was to go work in the petroleum industry. And I chose type 1 interferon and the National Cancer Institute. And who knew that type 1 interferon was the heart of all of this criminal fraud? And we had, you know, what do we use? We use ozone. What is, you know, for healing these diseases? And that's also in our book, Frank Schallenberger, in all the way back in HIV/AIDS, that other political disease where my PhD proved HIV wouldn't cause AIDS if you did all these things I'm telling you. Keep the innate, the basic frontline part of your immune system, your skin, your nasal pharyngeal cavity, your gut, your mouth, your intestines. You keep that metabolizing God-given fuel. We weren't made to metabolize carbon dioxide or petroleum. And all their drugs are made out of petroleum, and they're poisoning us, and they're driving cancer because we don't get the right form of oxygen. And that's why you don't eat GMO. Because though I'm looking for the paper on my computer. I was reading this whole series of papers driving up here on plant immune system. Plants have viruses, folks. Plants have retrovirus. It's so much fun, and they metabolize. Plants do things. That's why
they defend themselves too. Yeah, they have lectins.
Yeah.
All kinds of nasty things.
Yeah, they have lectins. These are all these things that we should be using, you know, to block and maintain the appropriate charge. And that's why I'm telling Josie there that this little boy, we get the mechanisms, forget the politics. Go fix it, and you'll give that mom faith. But at the end of the day, you've got to make sure no more shots, not ever. And I used to say 5 years ago, I set a 5-year moratorium on all vaccines. Why do I say that? Well, because until they're safety tested, that's why I said that about the Informed Consent Action Network. They admitted at the end of 2019, not a single vaccine had ever been tested with the other vaccines they're used together. I mean, how can you walk in a grocery store and get a flu shot, influenza shot, a Prevnar shot that's pieces of 23 different bacteria combined with a boatload of aluminum, and you put one in one arm, and in your influenza vaccine, you put mercury, which is a poison, you put that and live influenza. This is what's killing everybody. And then you add a coronavirus, PIC, as John Cullen would say, instead of PNC. I mean, PNI. They call the flu shot FLU, you know, corona plus influenza. And so these people are saying, why am I getting a shot in both arms? Oh, because the flu shot is both the Prevnar bacterial pneumonia, because they stimulate different pathways. The sensors on your cells for bacteria are TLRs, and the toll receptors, and they turn up the flames different ways than the poly-IC, the kinds of sensors for type 1 interferon for RNA viruses. Our God gave us everything. And all these morons that say, there's no such thing as a virus. No, your problem is all the viruses in the last 40 years have been XMRVs, monkey and manufactured. And the only way they hurt humans, even if that little boy already was exposed to SARS-CoV-2, the monkey virus, which he was, if he got any vaccines containing viral monkey kidney cells. So they injected SARS-CoV-2 again, the monkey virus. Oh, yeah, so he had COVID. No, he didn't. You know, there never was a disease. COVID is not a disease. It's a collection of symptoms of poisoning, blood poisoning, radiation poisoning, glyphosate poisoning, virus poisoning, injecting animal virus after animal virus. Tell me the shots that little boy got, and I'll detox them for you. But look at the garbage. You know, read the CDC excipient list. This is what we did in vaccine court. Said you can't turn that flame on and have a body that can't turn it off because his food is poison, or continue to do it until you crush the individual. And at some point, the damage is irreversible. But it's not, it's quite a late point in that. We can fix everything if we just turn back to God and really study our environment. And that's where we have to humble ourselves and admit what we don't know. I admit, Greg, I forgot the periodic table.
Okay. I looked it up too. Hey, listen, you know, the thing that, you know, in fact, I encourage people on the show when, because I ask impossible questions all the time. When I get you to define carbon, I mean, come on, you were ready for that. But that's part of the show here. That's the discovery for me, is like, because I challenge myself all the time, and I'm thinking, what can I, you know, what can I learn? What can I do? This is a classroom. This is my classroom. And I may, you know, host this and schedule a show and all that kind of stuff. But really, you know, I'm learning from all you folks. And in fact, we're all learning from each other. But so this is why I like to ask the basic questions and go back to things like, what is carbon? You know, are we in fact an internal combustion engine, you know, our human body? And why, you know, is the only difference between hydrocarbons, oil, and carbohydrates is oxygen. I mean, that's it. That's, you know, that's the only difference, because you can't form hydrocarbons underground, or they'd oxidate and they'd burn underground instead of in our engine. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, and that's why, you know, this whole climate change BS is just, are you kidding me? No, we need to burn fossil fuels. That's why God gave them. We need to burn them cleanly so things aren't spit into the air with air pollution. But we have filters and we have ways to stop that we can burn them cleanly. You know, your car needs electricity, and that's natural gas. That's hydrocarbons. You know, oh, great. So you can use the natural gas, but you can't use the petroleum. And then you'll just turn off the plug so that we idiots who bought Teslas and paid all that money, and then you can't use your electronic money. You know, I'm not that idiot. I can't afford that, and I won't afford that.
Well, no, actually, we have let me give you a little side project we're working on, too. Our Constitution reporter, Amber Kemper, she's 18. She's, you know, starting college. And she got to be our Constitution reporter by writing a bill saying that anybody running for office should be should have to take the immigration citizenship test to see if they know anything about our government, you know, things that a normal, lawful immigrant would know. Anyway, so she had another idea, which I thought was really cool, which is to have an electric car tax. And I said, okay, great. If you're going to do an electric car tax equivalent to the gas tax, let's put on a hazardous materials recycling fee on the battery. And I figured $25,000 per electric car would be a good start. And then I thought, well, let's get a tax expert. So I called up Grover Norquist's organization, Americans for Tax Reform, and I've got a hold of the media person. They're talking to Grover. We're going to try and get Grover and Amber together on the same show, and we're going to write an electric car tax bill that should counter all the stuff that's going on here. So there's so many different fronts that we're working on here at Action Radio. You know, you guys, you get the medical one, and you know, but there's many, many different avenues. I wear a bunch of hats here in terms of legislation, but that's some of the things that are working, because electric cars are basically, you know, gas-powered cars where they just change the form before it gets to your car. But they're still powered by, you know, coal, oil, natural gas, and uranium, unless you have some small portion from your wind farm destroying fish out there and everything else. It's like the environmental solutions are the worst for the environment. Wind farms in the ocean? Are you kidding me? Those things are disgusting. You know, you know, all the other stuff they have, but solar only does so much. But this is interesting. Anyway, so if you want to get on our car tax bill, that's some of the things we're talking about. But electric cars, there's no magic in them. These people talk as if the electricity comes out of thin air, it just suddenly magically appears in your car. They don't realize that it has to be not only generated but transported. And when you send electricity down a power line, you actually lose a certain percentage of it. You send oil down a pipeline, you know, the oil's still there. You leave, you know, battery power in your electric car, it loses power, especially in the wintertime. You leave gasoline in your tank, just leave it there for several years, it's just as powerful as it was, you know, the day you put it in there. And that last little drop of gasoline is just as powerful as the first drop if your tank was full. So for many reasons, you know, we need this, but we need to start talking about organic fuels. I'm never going to use the term fossil fuel again. These are organic fuels. They redo the carbon cycle. And here's the thing. If you want to talk about, and this is a Judy and a Josie question, if you want to talk about intelligent design, does anybody else find it as interesting as I do that at the time when Gregory Wrightstone told us, CO2 Coalition, that the Earth is at a perilously low point in carbon dioxide, that the Industrial Revolution happened and we discovered the fuel to fuel the Industrial Revolution was petroleum, coal, oil, natural gas. So we're actually putting carbon dioxide back into the air through the burning of what we're calling organic fuels at the very time that CO2 was low. Tell me that's not an intelligent design. I don't think that's an accident. Anybody
want to
speculate
on that? Oh, no, there are no accidents. There are no accidents, and that's just brilliant. You got me to think of one carbon metabolism, and that's the whole folate vitamin B pathway and the S-adenosylmethionine amino acid that's essential because we get it in food. We don't make it ourselves. There are a few of the amino acids we don't make, and methionine is one of them. So S-adenosylmethionine is a methyl donor, you know, another amino acid building block of life that we have to have for one carbon metabolism. And when we can't do that, we have heart attacks because we build up homocysteine and we don't regenerate glutathione. So this is what I'm teaching the chiropractors tomorrow, or hoping to say it in a way, because I learn every day. That's why I do these meetings. Nobody pays us. I show up because I need to learn from, and that's why I love to do these calls, because you just made me think about one carbon metabolite and folate pathway, which I never wanted to think about again.
Sorry. I'm not trying to cause you grief, but these just things occur to me. Like I say, it makes sense to me that if God needed, you know, carbon dioxide back in the environment, that we would have an industrial revolution, which is based on burning, you know, renewable organic fuels. That makes sense to me. Anyway, you said methyl, and we hear about methane, methyl, you know, there's the methane's used in racing cars and methyl stuff. It's one of those oxygen burning things. But that, you know, and as we sort of draw this parallel between the internal combustion engine of your car and the internal combustion engine of your body, there's a whole lot of similarities that never occurred to me until I thought, you know, that crossed my mind. And of course, now you're reinforcing that with even more things. What are methyls and methanes, and how do they fit in? And, you know, anybody's worried about cow, you know, flatulence, but they're joking about that, but they're taking away our methane too. They're taking away our oxygen. They're taking away our oil. They're taking away our carbon dioxide. They're taking away everything that makes life possible. Next, they're going to take away our carbon. But how does methane fit into the biochemistry of us, just out of curiosity?
Well, a methyl group is carbon. You remember they have those four binding sites. So methyl group is carbon with three hydrogens on it. I mean, so that methyl group is the on and off switch. And let me pull methane up. Go back.
We're going back to basic chemistry here, folks. This is actually kind of fun. we're having a great time here. So, Jim Thorpe, don't forget to join us. I know you're busy, but your line is live, so feel free to unmute anytime and hop in here. Yeah, Judy. Methane group.
It's a hydrocarbon. I'm just getting the formula of it. Methyl is CH3. Methane is CH4.
Oh.
And so methane is a gas. It's a hydrocarbon, and it's the primary component of natural gas. So our methyl groups are the on-off switch. We need to donate that methyl group in order to, it's the on-off switch of gene expression. So when that methyl group sits on a CPG, you know, cytosine followed by guanine on the 5', that phosphate is used for the, just chemistry, it's the reaction. So methane is really important with the greenhouse gas. So it's really important with the whole climate system and the Earth's temperature, you know, and there are a lot of anthropogenic human influence, natural sources. So man-made methanes and gases, you know, and again, in the natural sources. And just used in the balance according to nature, it's very important. That's the simplest alkane, it's called. The A-N-E is CH4. And so CH4 is a lot of different things. And so it's again, the main constituent of natural gas. I'm really glad I didn't go into the oil industry, but you're exactly right in your fabulous analogy here.
Well, thank you. But isn't it fascinating that those were your choices, you know, biochemistry or petrochemistry? Look at the parallels.
Yeah, it's all... Yeah, exactly, for my job. I would have made a lot more money in the oil industry, and I probably wouldn't have ended up in jail for explaining how the oil industry is destroying the body's engine. Sorry.
No, that's okay, but part of it isn't. You know, in other words, we need to start advancing organic fuels. We need, like, an organic fuel campaign. You know, this is where it would be great to partner with the CO2 Coalition, like, say, Gregory Wrightstone, with banners all across the country. You know, CO2 is wonderful, or he has his I Love CO2 T-shirts. You know, but carbon dioxide is different than the thing, because the methane burns. Now, how does the methane burn without oxygen, CH4? Doesn't it need oxygen to burn? Isn't that one of the requirements of anything burning? It has to be oxygenated somehow? Or is that only internal stuff?
I don't think it burns. I'm sorry. I honestly don't know the answer to that question.
Okay.
I just don't know, other than that it's such an abundant element in Earth and it's important.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's because it's a gas anyway. It's a gas. It's not necessarily burning, and I guess it gases burn out. I don't know. Sorry.
Well, it's okay. I mean, this is actually kind of fun.
I can only think of that flame in your tissues. Inflammation is only burning up your tissues.
But look at all the fun we're having here. This is probably the first show in maybe years you're talking about things that you don't know everything about. That's kind of fun. That should be exciting, I think. It's exciting.
No, many of your shows I don't know anything about, and that's why I love to hear Jim Thorpe.
Well, good. Well, that's the impossible questions. Hey, Jim, can you bail us out here? Let's see if we can get him back in the show. He's been, you know, and where's Brian Artis? You know, he's even when he's here, he doesn't talk much. Which is unusual for Brian. If you've ever been to a rally with Brian, you know, getting him talking is not the problem. Just the opposite sometimes. But anyway, okay. Well,
Brian might be coming to this Cairo Fest this weekend, or he might be at Clay Clark. Well, Cairo mm-hmm. Fest is a bunch of chiropractors here in Boise, Idaho, mm-hmm. The 16th and the 17th. So it starts tomorrow. So I traveled yesterday so I could do this today. And so he might be here, but Clay Clark's also doing another Reawaken American mm-hmm. in Post Falls, Idaho. So I'm missing half my friends is there at the other conference, and I had to come down here and teach this at ChiroFest, which is just fine. It's a fabulous group of chiropractors learning how to use mm-hmm. food, again, to restore clean food as our fuels and overcome all of these diseases simply
Ooh.
By fueling the body and detoxing the poisons from not only these shots. It's really, I never said it was the shot. Our first book, Plague, talked about a contaminated blood supply. What I
mm-hmm.
talk about is xenotransplantation, which is injecting foreign things into the human body. If you expose the human body to these viruses or pathogens via the route, you know, that that God intended with the pathogens anyway, breathing
mm-hmm.
them, or the viruses on your skin, or the viruses in your gut, or the microbes in your gut, you know, the bacterial things. If you expose them to the innate immune system, when they get too much, the alarms will go on and you'll go clear them and silence them according to, you know, God. You just use it as fuel. That's where you stop building the body, you know, building back muscle and tissue and things if you have to go put out the fire. You have to send the fire trucks to the fire, and that's your immune cells, and that's, you know, that's the engine, you know. And when you're putting out the fire, if you don't know it's a grass fire or an oil fire and you put the wrong flame retardant on it,
mm-hmm.
then it burns more. And this is what we're seeing when those vaccines have, you know, formaldehyde, polysorbate 80 detergents. You know, detergents break down cell membranes into micelles. That's why you use detergents and not ethanol on your skins. You don't use ethanol-based hand sanitizers. That's poking microscopic holes in your skin and causing you problems. And it's actually kind of fixing, if you will, the pathogen sequence and driving it into the blood. And it's when it gets into the blood, God says, no, that wasn't supposed to be in the blood. That was supposed to be on the skin, or you were supposed to breathe those the measles virus. It's just a negative strand virus, a piece of signaling molecule. And most of us, it doesn't do anything because you breathe it in, you go cough, you cough it out, and or your body just breaks it down. It turns on the type 1 interferon pathway, which turns on your little Pac-Men that gobble it all up, and it never gets anywhere close to the blood. Well, when we inject these things, so what my work shows, our work shows as a collective, there's no my work in science, but what our work showed as a collective, the big oh my God in 2011, is we can never inject these things again. That's not a vaccine. It doesn't give you lifelong immunity. The measles outbreaks in Disneyland, it's the vaccinated. They don't make antibodies. They can't, because the type 1 interferon says, what kind of antibody do we need to make? And what we and do I need IgA? Is it a gut problem? Do I need IgM to the acute to mucosal surface turn on IgG? I've seen that one before in the adaptive immune response, the IgGs. You know, we've just rewritten all these science since 2011, and it's a lie. Our pharmaceutical companies are telling us that we don't do that. An IgG is not a past infection reactivated. What we're now told is an IgG is a later stage of disease. No, it's not. It's immunity given by God. How stupid are we? So we have, I hate to say it, we have, just like I'm an armchair, I wouldn't even try to tell you what fuel to put in your boat versus your car in order to make the engine work. You know, why would somebody tell us, here's the answer? So it's an arrogance
from the government
of the general population.
They're from the government, they think they know better.
Yeah, well, the government should know better, but people like Biden, and I'm sorry, every single one of these politicians, they don't know. They rely on the Tony Faucis who lied to five presidents and drove these pandemics, drove the chronic disease explosion in our society. Oh, well, was that on purpose? Yeah, because we drove the pharmaceutical industry, so they got us from cradle to grave. What does that mean? You have to buy their products. So now the New England Journal of Medicine study finally comes out to say what we've been saying since 2011 is that these vaccines are destroying your immune system. Oh, so now you need a chemical in order to respond forever. But I disagree. They're not destroying it, because all we have to do is stop. All we have to do is say no, and we can fix this. Going back to good old-fashioned biology and biochemistry, and teach our immune system how to heal it, just like we were telling Josie. But we certainly don't keep injecting or ingesting poisons.
Yeah, Josie had to leave us a little bit ago, but I'm sure she can call back if she gets a chance. I want to take a quick break for about 5 minutes, and so get some coffee, take your time, relax. I want to turn we've got Jim and we've got Judy here, so I want to turn you both into expert lobbyists on the Vaccine Manufacturer Full Product Liability Restoration Act of 2021. So if you indulge me for a little bit, I shall go over the entire bill, and you can ask me all the questions you want, and that way you can answer any question from anybody. And if you can't, then just send them to me. How's that sound? Back in five?
Back in five. Sounds great. I have to leave a little after 11, but I'm looking forward to it.
Okay. Well, I can do it in half an hour, you know, which is probably what we'll have. So I'll make it.
Oh, no.
I'll
can't wait.
I'll make it
can't
3 minutes
wait.
Then.
Looking
okay.
So in fact, I do have those bills on my last slide in my talk to the chiropractors.
Oh, you're so wonderful. This is great. You're going to be like a lobbyist extraordinaire. Do you ever think you'd be a lobbyist? Let me take a quick break here, play a couple things, and then we'll be right back, and then we'll go over the bill and just to make sure that Judy has time to ask questions. So we'll be right back. Greg Penglis here for my book, The Complete Guide to Flight Instruction. Everyone at some point in their life wants to learn how to fly. Few try. Even fewer go on to get a license. I believe a major reason for that is how we teach people how to fly. My book is designed to help you navigate the flight training system, but it's so much more than that. It really describes an entirely new way to teach flying. So if you've never tried a lesson or got discouraged in your training and quit for any reason, this book can help you. Don't be a rote pilot who just follows procedures. Be a thinking pilot who makes great decisions, who understands all the reasons why we do what we do. You can incorporate these principles into your own flight training at any time. The Complete Guide to Flight Instruction is featured on the Action Radio with Greg Panglis Facebook page and is available from Amazon.com. Do you know your way around healthcare, insurance, pharmacies, surgery, alternative treatments and choices? I don't. Which is why I'm so glad I met Priscilla Romans, had her on Action Radio, and learned about health patient advocacy. She is the founder of Great Care. And now as an affiliate of Great Care, we are proud to offer through our discount code, WYL, which stands for Write Your Laws, a 10% discount. Great Care saves you both time and money. They provide medical advocacy, consultation, advice, and recommendations nationwide. Their website is greatcare.com. That's GRAITHcare.com. You can email them at greatcare.adm@gmail.com or call them at 469-864-7149. That's 469-864-7149. Great Care, better health through better knowledge and advocacy. From addiction to achievement, that is the story of Mike Lindell. It started with MyPillow and now goes to MyCoffee. Action Radio is proud to be an affiliate of MyPillow. Our discount code is the same for all our product affiliates, WYL, which stands for Write Your Laws. MyPillow pillows are guaranteed the most comfortable pillow you'll ever own. Action Radio is guaranteed to be the most controversial show you will ever hear. Check out their products with our discount code at mypillow.com/WYL. That's mypillow.com/WYL. Or order now by calling 1-800-544-8939. That's 1-800-544-8939. Sleep well, so you can wake up and hear Action Radio live. Action Radio, dedicated to fixing everything. Just a little touch of arrogance there. Okay, let's bring back Dr. Judy Mikovits, Dr. Jim Thorpe. Judy, do you have the top of this hour or the top of the next hour? I might have misunderstood what you were saying.
Oh, how I have to leave for somewhere around 11 o'clock.
So that's
but,
that
but
specific time?
Somebody's just picking me up. Yeah, I'm in Idaho, so it's
mountain
10:36.
Time, probably.
Yeah, mountain time.
Oh, okay. So,
I'm
oh,
in Idaho. My friend's going to come pick me up, but we can listen to the end of the show. Which we
let me go over the bill quickly then, well, relatively, and see if you have any questions here. So the bill is, it's on writeyourlaws.com. That's WRITEYOURLAWS. And I'm absolutely determined to get this bill into the national debate before the midterm elections any way I possibly can. With the help of Judy and John Collins, some other folks, I think we can do it. So the bill was written March 31st of 2021, so it's been over a year, written by yours truly. And I start all my bills with either a rationale or an introduction. The rationale for this bill is this. Currently, vaccine manufacturers enjoy complete immunity from any product liability civil suit against any vaccine they manufacture, distribute, advertise, market, or benefit from because of any government program or action. This is insane. No other product has this blanket immunity. If vaccines are completely safe, then there should be minimal injuries and deaths. No product is perfect, and being subject to product liability laws and lawsuits should pose no significant burden. However, granting absolute immunity encourages complete recklessness and negligence, if not criminal conspiracy, to produce known dangerous products without the possibility of any legal or financial consequences, regardless of the rate of injury, severity of injury, or loss of life. That crime has to be redressed immediately. This act, and this is in italics, so it's nice and bold, folks. This act reverses current law and puts full product liability for vaccines where it belongs, on the manufacturers of those vaccines. So that's my rationale. I might even rewrite that a little bit. I noticed a couple of glitches when I read it this time. But anyway, makes sense. Anything you think I should add to it? Clear enough that we're doing this because they have blanket immunity and they shouldn't. Judy?
Yeah, that's absolutely critical. I don't think that I don't hear anything to add to it, but this is what happened in 1986 when then President Ronald Reagan signed that into law. He said, rightfully, to Tony Fauci and Big Pharma, when lawyers were winning all the lawsuits, and you can see it in 1986, the Act, which you can get at 1986theact.com. You can see all about that law. What then President Reagan said to Tony Fauci is, you know, why don't you just make them safer? And Tony Fauci replied, they're unavoidably unsafe. And I know he's going to say, I didn't say that, because he always has somebody else say it. Somebody said for him, but that's the implication. They're unavoidably unsafe. Oh, so certain people have to die? And this is what we did with the EUA, or have their lives destroyed because their immune systems don't work that way. And this is what we're seeing right now all over and over and over again in science, in metabolism, like we're talking about. Your immune system metabolizes differently depending on your heritage, your origin, your food, your environment, everything according to God. So, yeah, that's what has to be. So then there's an EUA. Oh, there's an emergency. That never was. Mm-hmm. There never was an emergency if we'd used food and stopped injecting these poisons into people. But they had to drive the freedom from liability. And so people just don't appreciate how that original law came into being was, oh, they're unavoidably unsafe. So here in COVID-19, no, you can't murder the elderly, the people with inflammatory diseases, or anybody else in order to drive, you know, your agenda. You can't kill the sick, especially when you made them sick with your toxic liability-free vaccines. They're not vaccines. They're not immune therapy. They don't help you. They never have. That's why I mentioned measles. People who got the measles vaccine rather than the natural infection actually can't make antibodies. They're what's called anergic. And so what did the FDA do? Oh, they changed the law for the requirements of IVIG, which is intravenous immunoglobulin. Oh, they changed the law that said you have to, in that product, which is a biological, there have to be so many measles antibodies. Why'd they change the law? Because the people that got vaccinated, unlike me, who had a natural infection, don't make enough antibodies. They don't make them. So the unvaccinated didn't drive the measles outbreak at Disneyland. The vaccinated did, just like the vaccinated are driving COVID right now because they've destroyed their natural immunity. So that law is the critically important law. Liability returns, crimes against humanities get charged, and the criminals go away. And I don't just mean turn the sign around the door, call it mass psychosis. We were all just so afraid it's conversion disorder. You know, this is the kind of thing they've been doing forever. No, we're not psychotic unless we're driven that way by XMRVs, which drive psychosis. Gulf storm, it's the inflammatory, too much dust in your brain, too much mask, lack of oxygen, all these things. Yeah, they drive psychosis. You couldn't think to save your life.
Yeah. I'm going to hold you up only because you only have a limited time, and I want to make sure I get this bill in. So if you put your lobbyist hat on and you want to explain this to people as simply as possible, you can make the simple rationale and say, look, here's the problem. They shouldn't have blanket immunity. If these things were safe, then they wouldn't have to worry about their liability. If they're not safe, then they should have liability. And very simply, because they don't, because this law takes away their liability, just the one that we're proposing reverses it. And just point them to the rationale, and away they go. The next part of the bill, the National Vaccine Injury Compensation Program. I'm reading right from the bill, so I'm not adding anything else. This is just exactly what we've posted here. In response to vaccine manufacturer product liability full immunity, the federal government, in order to not look completely devoid of emotion or caring, set up the National Vaccine Injury Compensation Program. According to the Department of Justice, National Vaccine Compensation Program site at justice.gov/whatever. Anyway, more than 6,000 people have been paid in excess of $3.9 billion, you know, since the program's 1988 inception. That sound about right? 6,000 people, $3.9
billion? Yep, but it's a lot more than that because of the backlog of cases that they admitted in 2019. There are thousands of cases backlog. Yes, it's paid
okay,
more
give me a
than
sentence
$4
on
billion.
That. All right, so give me a sentence on that sometime when, you know, text me a sentence, and then I can add it into the bill. And this is how we amend bills, literally by doing this, by reading them and going over it. So if you can give me some more updated information, that'd be great. The next paragraph, the national vaccine – oh, no, I appreciate it. Thank you. Like I said, I'm just a little pressed for time. The National Vaccine Injury Compensation Program should not be funded by taxpayer money. This program should not exist. This program would not exist if vaccine manufacturers were fully liable for their products and they had no immunity from civil lawsuits to enforce compliance with product safety laws, regulations, and standards. Therefore, our Vaccine Manufacturer Full Product Liability Restoration Act shall abolish the program and delete the following section of law covering this program. And then it'll go right to the law. So this is why I say this is congressional hearing ready. 42 U.S. Code, Section 300AA-10, Establishment of Program, and it covers the program being established, the attorney's obligation, and publicity. And so it deletes those right from law. So if you take away the thing where it says there is established a national vaccine injury compensation program, then there will not be a vaccine injury compensation program because we're deleting it from the law. If it's deleted from the law, then it can't exist. So this is how you get your freedom back, folks. You delete the sections of law that are taking away your freedom. You put in new sections of law that get your freedom back. So we delete the Vaccine Injury Compensation Program. Comments, questions? Judy.
Yeah, I think that's fabulous as long as you restore liability.
Well, this is all part of it.
Driving the, yeah, that's correct.
So this is part of the bill. Part of the bill, I'm just doing it, looking, I got a person on the line right now. I'm just going to have you hold for a bit until I get through my bill here. Otherwise, I'll get messed up. I've got to move a couple of things real quick because it disappeared. And now I got to find my bill again. Ah, here we go. This is what happens when you do try and do too much. And I need a producer. Anybody want to produce my show? That would really be helpful. All right, there we go. I got something I don't want on the screen. Ah, there we go. Okay, we're good. So we get rid of the vaccine compensation program. The next one. This is really important. This is one of the ones I rewrote, so it's a lot clearer to understand. And that is the liability immunity declaration of emergency. This is John Collins' big thing. He says we got to get rid of the EUA. Well, if you get rid of the declaration of emergency, you get rid of the EUA. 15198, Federal Register, Volume 85, Number 52, Tuesday, March 17th, 2020, Notices, Department of Health and Human Services, Office of the Secretary, Declaration under the Public Readiness and Emergency Preparedness Act, that's the PREP Act, okay, for medical countermeasures against COVID-19 action, Notice of Declaration. So this was never a law, okay, this was never signed by, President Trump, this was never officially authorized, it was never a bill, it was an announcement. It was an announcement in the Federal Register, okay? That's all this is. So we could actually get rid of this with another announcement. But what I said in the bill, this declaration by the Secretary of Health and Human Services to grant liability immunity to manufacturers, distributors, program planners, and qualified persons and their officials, agents, and employees in the United States is hereby repealed and abolished. Full product liability responsibility is restored to those parties mentioned here, subjecting them to any civil action brought for damages for a vaccine or vaccine-related side effect, reaction, injury, death, or other compensational event. That language comes right from their bill. So I just reversed it on them. So that gets rid of the declaration of emergency. Judy?
That's just fabulous.
Well, thank you.
Because it covers everybody. Mm-hmm. That means that pharmacist, that drugstore clerk, somebody that didn't know what else you were taking and what mm-hmm. adverse reactions, somebody who didn't know everything that was in that shot, and honestly, nobody knows. Well, probably only God knows because they're never tested. So they also broke that law in the beginning in the Compensation Act by not doing the testing required by HHS. That's in the compensation program. It required that they do the testing. And you know what they did with the advertising money? Oh, they stole, let's see, they only gave 59 cents of the 75 cents the taxpayers pay for each inoculation. Think about how much money that is. 75 cents on every shot is taxpayer money to fund the compensation program, and only 59 cents of the 75 got to the program. The rest of it is those criminal advertisements direct to consumer on the TV. That's what you're funding. You're funding literally the fraudulent commercials. Oh, I could have been an astronaut if my mom had gotten me Gardasil. If my 9-year-old's having sex, she'll never be an astronaut anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, you know what? And this is what I want to do on a separate bill. So this is my logic as a citizen legislature. I want to have it simple. I want to have a simple subject. It's got a couple of parts to it, but these parts are so directly related, whereas the advertising, I think, is worthy of a separate bill, because I want to be able to explain to folks why we're going to do that. And so you and our bill writer, we're going to see if I can get you together on the show to come up with a separate one that can go with this. You can file them together. But I think there's enough of a difference. Okay, now I'm not going to read through the current law because it's disgusting. let me just give you the highlights of where the problems are. So the current law, 42 U.S. Code, Section 300AA-22, Standards of Responsibility, Section B, B1, no vaccine manufacturer shall be liable in a civil action for damages arising from a vaccine-related injury or death associated with the administration of a vaccine after October 1st, 1988. If the injury or death results from side effects that were unavoidable, even though the vaccine was properly prepared and was accompanied by proper directions and warnings. Yeah, that's what they say. So what I say is we go to my U.S. Code, Section 300AA-22, Standards of Responsibility, B1. Vaccine manufacturers shall be fully liable in any civil action for damages arising from a vaccine or vaccine-related side effect, reaction, injury, death, or other compensational event resulting from a defect of or participation in the manufacture, testing, evaluation, certification, authorization, approval, distribution, administration, use, storage, transportation, or other responsibility of the manufacturer relating to their vaccines. Judy, have I got all the variables in there?
I think I've
covered
probably
it, right?
The most fabulous thing you said. It's all fabulous, but distribution or storage. We know there were crimes committed where there's supposedly those original Pfizer vaccines or Moderna store at minus 70. Mm-hmm. Oh, well, they didn't store them at minus 70. Oh, they break apart and it doesn't do anything. Absolutely, yeah. It does. It destroys your storage. That's fabulous. So they don't store it right. They don't have the records to show what they stored. They don't carry the temperatures on freezers. These are all things of good manufacturing processes that have to be done. And oh, it's an emergency, so we don't have to do anything. We can take it straight out of that fermentation vat with all that garbage in it and inject it directly into a little child and destroy their lives or an elderly person.
Yep. But I listened to you. This is where I got the language from. I listened to our earlier broadcast. It's like, oh, Judy would want this in the bill. So, I mean, this is how it works. This is why this is a team effort. I'm just like the stenographer. I mean, I take everything. This is how I wrote the bill with Dr. Zelenko, who I really ideally miss. But we wrote a bill in August of 2020 based on his interview. And I sent him stuff, and I said, hey, what do you think of this? He says, well, that's pretty right, but, you do this. Okay, fine. So we went back and forth and back and forth, and that's how I wrote the bill, based on everything he told me. And so this is how we do this. So your talent is all this knowledge. My talent is putting it into a bill. We combine forces. Now we've got something pretty solid. Let me give you another one here. Current law of this would be B2. For the purposes of paragraph 1, a vaccine manufacturer shall be a vaccine shall be presumed, this is very important, shall be presumed to be accompanied by proper directions and warnings if the vaccine manufacturer shows that it complied in all material respects with all requirements of the FDA, da, 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 da. The keywords there are shall be presumed, okay? Well, why would you presume something? That's just silly. So I wrote my, B2, for the purposes of paragraph 1, a vaccine shall be accompanied, not presumed, shall be accompanied by proper directions and warnings known as an insert, which shall be provided in hard copy to every person before the administration of any vaccine excuse me, mRNA genetic modification shot, or any medical product designed to boost the immune system against a particular virus, bacteria, germ, or other disease in sufficient time beforehand to allow for the slow and careful reading of the entire insert. Persons, before receiving any vaccine or other medical product, as mentioned in this paragraph, shall sign a permission slip where they and the medical provider of the vaccine retain a copy that they have read and understood all the warnings and disclaimers in the insert and then consent to the vaccine procedure. How's that?
That's wonderful, except for one word I don't like, and I'm not sure how to change it. You
okay,
said
tell me the word.
Boost the immune system. They will say, oh, we didn't mean boost, you know, not the immune
Ooh,
system. You know, the
well,
word
can,
booster is important. But,
I can
but
change
when
it.
You say boost the immune system, maybe alter in any way, change the immune response, the immune
designed
system.
To oh, I see where
you
it
know,
is, designed to boost the system. So it's put designed to modify or...
It wasn't designed to boost the system. It was designed to suppress the system. Therefore, they could go away from that. Oh, no, that's not
well, how about a medical product that alters the immune system? Would that be better?
Yeah, perfect. That's the word I first thought of, so we must be right.
That alters. I'll fix it right after the show.
The natural immune response. Natural
that
immune
alters
response.
The natural...
God-given.
I can put that in, too, if you want. But they might get after you
yep.
on that. Let's say the natural immune... I'm just making sure I write this down properly.
Response.
Immune response. This is how we write legislation, folks. We literally do it on the air. Okay, now here's the beauty of having everything electronic. I'll put this in after the show. The next time anybody clicks on the bill, they will get the amended version. Neat, huh?
Great.
This is why I don't put anything on paper. This is why I don't put anything on paper. Let me give you another one.
I put everything on paper and my computer.
Oh, okay. Well, I should do that, too. I might print all these up here at some point. The only problem is that doing that, they keep changing. And they get better. Once they get to Congress, I might print them up just so I have the original before they screw around with it. Here's another one. This is Section C. No, this is the current law. No vaccine manufacturer shall be liable in a civil action for damages arising from a vaccine-related injury or et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That's their C. My C is a little bit different. My C says vaccine manufacturers shall be fully liable in a civil action for damages arising from a vaccine or vaccine-related side effect. So basically, I took all their language and just changed it from shall not be liable to shall be fully liable. And the reason I took their language is because I figured their lawyers have taken into account all the things that they, all the contingencies they can think of. And this particular language fascinated me. Vaccine or vaccine-related side effect, reaction, injury, death, and here's the keywords, or other compensational event. What the hell does that mean? That's a pretty broad category there, Judy.
Yeah, other compensatable event. You know, mm-hmm. what does
What's
that
What's a compensational
mean?
Event?
Really
well, yeah, but there's yeah. it's their word. Yeah. Their lawyers and accountants,
yeah.
they spent millions of dollars crafting liability immunity. So if I just reverse the immunity, I literally have reversed all the things that they spent millions of dollars to protect themselves against unjustly by using the same words. Vaccine or that's why I put those words in, because it's their words. And people say, what are you doing?
Yeah,
you're changing the law. No, I'm not. I'm just reversing the immunity. Instead of saying they are liable, instead of they're not. But it's all their words. It's right there. This is the fun of this.
Well,
Judy.
And what's so cool about that is what you'll see in the New York Times, and I'll have you look at the New York Times about, I think it was mm-hmm. about June of 2019, where mm-hmm. they, and the term they use is compensatable injuries over and
Bingo.
Over. There's only
Bingo.
One in a million compensatable injuries, not one in a million serious injuries, compensatable injuries. Boy, you nailed it, Greg.
Well, and I'm not doing this for a pat on the back. I really want to go over the language with you. And so far, the fact that you've only found one thing that you disagree with, that's, to me, that's miraculous. I'm quite happy with that. Let me tell you something else I put in here that I had forgotten about. And this is part C. Two, because apparently they had things that were discouraged. Let me go back to the current law. Current, oh, actually, they don't have it. I made my own addition. And then I said here, C2, no state nor federal agency or department may establish or enforce any law, regulation, or policy which prohibits, restricts, discourages, threatens, burdens, or creates a chilling effect, that's right, a Supreme Court language, folks, upon an individual from bringing a civil action against the vaccine manufacturer for damages for a vaccine or vaccine-related side effect, reaction, injury, death, or other compensational event. So this prevents the government from threatening or imposing a chilling effect in any way, discouraging anybody from bringing a lawsuit against Big Pharma. That's what that's there for.
Ooh. That's also perfect for the events of the last 2 years.
Yeah.
You know, because, you can't have a job if you sue them, or, you can't go to the baseball game if you're me. You can't do anything if you're me.
Yeah, I might want to have a whistleblower protection in here too, but I think this pretty much is the whistleblower protection clause. Anybody that, that files a lawsuit, yeah, go ahead.
I believe that's a whistleblower law, and that's great.
Now, the interesting thing, the law currently says preemption. No state may establish or enforce a law which prohibits an individual from bringing a civil action against the vaccine manufacturer for damages for vaccine-related injury or death if such civil action is not barred by this part. So that basically says you can't bring a state law either. You can't bring a state case against Big Pharma either. So you can't bring a federal case. You can't bring a state case. That's preemption. So they preempted everybody at the state level from bringing a lawsuit also. So I had to correct that. So my preemption, no state may establish or enforce a law, regulation, or policy which prohibits an individual from bringing a civil action against a vaccine manufacturer for damages for a vaccine-related side effect reaction, So I just reversed it. No state may establish or enforce a law, you know, which prohibits an individual from bringing a civil action. So this prevents the states from stopping an action too. So not only we prevent the feds from stopping an action, we prevent the states from stopping an action. If we need to get down to the county and city level, but pretty much the preemption and that second clause there, C2, prevents anybody from being harassed or intimidated or prevented in any way from bringing a lawsuit against Big Pharma at the state and federal level. And that's the bill. That's it. That's the whole thing. You got the whole enchilada in 20 minutes. Go ahead.
On the state, can you say law, declaration, or mandate? Because none of these were law.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah,
so that
can't
would be...
just say law because they won't make a law. They'll just do it like they did with the damn mandate.
Oh, you're so good. So law, mandate? What's that?
I swore. I'm trying not to do that.
Oh, that's okay. Well, once in a while, it's kind of funny. So law, mandate, what are the other things you said? No state may establish a force aid. I should do what I did before. Enforce any law, regulation, policy.
Exactly.
Okay,
policy,
so
declaration,
I'll just add
mandate.
Yep. Yeah, I need to add mandate to the clause above. Regulation. Law, regulation, mandate, policy.
The last one is requirement.
Requirement.
I was in the airport in L.A. or wherever I was, Burbank. It's a requirement of this airport you wear a mask. Oh, wait a minute. Last time it was a law, so we got to get that off the loudspeaker.
So we got to add that somewhere differently, though. That's because that's not bringing about a lawsuit. That's something different.
Well, no, just say requirement is one of the other words. Declaration, requirement, policy, mandate.
Okay. I'll put those in both the state and federal.
Right.
So you like writing legislation? You're pretty good at it.
No, I don't. I never liked writing scientific papers either. And
come on.
Good at that either.
Look at all the fun we've just had. You know, this is, you know, when it goes on the news and Tucker Carlson, you know, has you and me on talking about this, and you can say, yeah, I wrote part of that.
I don't think Tucker's ever going to let me speak because he's having too much fun translating it.
Well, there you go. Well, you know, what's funny, last night I was listening to the show. We did a show, I think it was either yesterday. No, I think it was – no, it had to have been the day before, where I was talking about Trump electors. See, this is the big thing that's the coup is terrified of, is the Trump electors are still out there. The seven battleground states that put forward Trump electors, you know, and the governors and the Democrat parts of the state legislatures put forward Brandon electors. And the coup – for those that don't know, and I've explained this a bunch of times before, but we've got a different audience for this particular show. The actual coup, the way they did it, was they brought Trump supporters up top to take selfies as a distraction. I call that the Capitol Hill Invitational Walk-In. You know, the where the Capitol Hill police were greeters, and they opened the doors, and they said, come on down. Okay. So you had the Capitol Hill greeters. You had the guy with the bullhorn up top, and you had Ray Epps. Come on down. Come on. This is your Capitol, ladies and gentlemen. Why don't you have a little tour here? And why don't you take some selfies while you're at it? And unfortunately, we're going to, you know, the bad news, of course, is they assassinated Michael J. Byrd, assassinated Ashley Babbitt. But the reason they had those people up top there is because the real coup took place underneath. So we have seven, and I talked about this with Jonathan Mosley, our legal expert, and we did this, I think it was Monday, when we talked about the fact, and we've talked about this several times, under the Capitol, the real coup took place. And this is where Mike Pence and, you know, Chuckie Schumer and Nancy Pelosi and Kevin McCarthy and all the leaders of the deep state, they made sure that nobody challenged any more states. So the reason the coup happened when it did is because Arizona was up for an electoral challenge where people were going to say, well, we don't accept that. We've got Trump electors and we've got Brandon electors. We need to discuss this. So that's when they disrupted the congressional hearing of January 6th. So that challenge to Arizona being the first of the seven battleground states alphabetically, that would never take place. When they came back 7 hours later, of course, they're all whimpering and crying and, oh, no, we just, for the good of the country, we have to elect Brandon. That was the coup. So we're still waiting for our electoral challenge of January 6th. It never took place. So that's another reason that Brandon's not president, simply because the constitutional process of challenging the states never took place. They simply just voted, oh, we're not going to do it. You know, okay, you know, and they just moved on. That was the coup. And that's why Mike Pence is a traitor. Anybody, and if you want to, you know, come after me, that's Penglis, P-E-N-G-L-I-S. Get my name right before you, you know, put the search warrant on, okay? Oh, God, these people are tedious.
Yeah,
but that's
I
the problem.
Agree.
But that's
I'm
the
K-O-B-I-T-S. Don't
exactly.
Put a D on it. I'm
yeah,
not
yeah,
Liza Minnelli. I'm Lisa.
Yeah, you don't speak with a Jewish accent. You've got to be Julie Michalitz. Yeah, come on. Yeah, from Brooklyn. Hey, come on. I'm a doctor from Brooklyn. What do you want? Okay, come on. Michalitz. With a Z.
Not with a Z. With an S.
With an S, exactly. But that's the coup. And so this is why they're all so panicked right now, because the Trump electors are still out there. They still certify their letters. They're still viable. And all we have to do is to switch them. Now, if you want to get political for a second, you may have to go at any moment, so feel free. But
oh, no, I'm fine. I just won't be able to talk. We can listen, and my friend Stephanie,
okay,
whenever she gets, we'll just
hi, Stephanie,
keep listening.
Okay. Well, you make it a conference call. We'll put Stephanie as you're driving. You know, we can do that, too, as long as we don't, you know, embarrass you guys, unless you guys want to talk, in which case, just listen. But here's what I think is going to happen.
Oh, no, she's a freedom fighter. She wants to hear you.
Oh, okay, well, let's put her on then. You know, she's welcome to call the show. But here's what I think is going to happen. The 22nd Amendment, we're going to get political for a second because this is fun. The 22nd Amendment. Oh, by the way, your stalker's on the line, but I'm not going to take his call. So sorry, Mr. Shu.
Well,
so
it's only a matter of time, isn't it?
Well, he calls every week now. He's kind of like a regular. But I let him sit there. It's like, okay, so, you know, hope he's enjoying our conversation. The 22nd. I'm really having fun today. This is what makes radio worthwhile. You and I, we should do more of this. All right. And actually, what I'd like to do is if we can, you know, transfer it when my show ends, you know, we can call into Del Bigtree one of these weeks and just continue on. And we can tell him about the legislation and brief him. And he can, you know, then spread the word on it as well. That would be fabulous. So if we can do that sometime, you know, I'll end my show and I'll call his show. Or do you guys Zoom? How do you do it? Do you Zoom or do you call in?
I don't think you call in. I think he has it all produced. That's why the timing's such a problem.
Oh, so does he pre-record?
I just watch. Yeah.
Oh, does he pre-record?
No, but he's live. So I don't think he takes callers. He's interviewing guests. Like today, I believe it's Mickey and others. We get the advertisement on my text the day before. So I go right from your show to learning what to do, because he's going to teach me what to do next week on your show.
Oh, okay. Well, that's great. So what? So how do we find him? I mean, I've heard him before,
Friday,
but is it
instead of
is
Thursday,
it Rumble or?
It would be fabulous.
Okay. So where is he? Is he Rumble or something or what? Where is he located? Or is this his own website? I mean, I've heard it, but it's been a
while. I think it's a platform. It is his thehighwire.com. All
that's
I know
right.
is I tap on the link every week and start watching. I'm really an idiot when it comes to these things.
Well, you're already turning into a citizen legislator, so, I mean, this is pretty cool. So dehighwire.com. Okay, so I'll check that out. What we could do, and I can schedule a special show. I mean, I would do that. You know, we can come in. Actually, we can even come in earlier on Thursday. Well, that wouldn't for you because, you know, because of the time zones. But we'll figure something out. Maybe I'll stay later for a show. Maybe I'll extend a show for an hour, or maybe he can be a guest. We'll figure out something. Or we can even do a Saturday show maybe. Or we can just call him off air and say, hey, dude, Dell, dude, have we got news for you? 22nd Amendment.
No, I think he'd love it. He could even be on his show.
Oh, I'd love to be on his show. I didn't want to presume, but I'd be more than happy. Are you kidding? I'd love to be on a show. That'd be great. Okay.
That'd be fun.
So drop a hint. Maybe we can both be on the show.
Okay.
Yeah. We're like a tag team now, like a tag team wrestling match, you know?
Yeah. We have a blast when I go on there because he has so much fun translating me. I speak in tongues, as most people have figured out.
I speak in biochemistry.
And to people that can translate those. Yeah.
But you see, but here's what we've been able to do. Because you've given us so much time here, you've given me so much time on this show, we can take these very complex things that you talk about and gradually break them down. We got it all the way down to carbon today. You know, we're talking about one of the most basic elements in the planet. And we took all your wonderful biochemistry and brought it down to literally its elementary form, you know, its element. So I think that's kind of cool. Now here's something interesting.
And the periodic.
Go ahead. On the periodic table.
And the periodic table, that's all I knew. It's number 6 on the periodic table.
Number
I don't know what
six.
That means.
All right, let's be honest. When's the last time you looked at a periodic table?
About 15 years ago. They
See,
stole
there we go.
Everything out of my office. So I
they stole your table?
Can't find the periodic table that used to be on my wall. I lost everything, remember?
Oh,
I live on boats. My periodic table is a long way away.
Oh, that's hysterical. Hey, did you ever hear the Tom Lehrer? Tom Lehrer, who was a math professor at Harvard, he used to write these very sarcastic songs like National Brotherhood Week, the Vatican Rag, things like that. He actually set the periodic table to music, to ragtime, on the piano.
Oh, my God. Let's do it next show.
Tom Lehrer. I can't play it. It's copyright. Well, maybe it's not. I don't know. Anyway, I'll see what I can do. Maybe I can upload it. But anyway, go to Tom Lehrer, Lehrer, Tom Lehrer. And so he does, but you ought to hear the Vatican Rag too, but I digress. Amendment 22 of the Constitution, no person shall be elected to the office of the president more than twice, and no person who has held the office of the president or acted as president, well, speaking of which, for more than 2 years of a term to which some other person was elected president shall be elected to the office of president more than once. Now, here's what's interesting. So the president gets 2 terms. If you serve more than 2 years, you know, if you serve a term and then more than 2 years of another term, you don't get to run again. That's it. So what this means is less than 2 years of a term, you can run again. So if the Trump electors come forward and the states certify Trump won the election and he takes office January 1st of 2023 or later, he can run again in 2024. Ooh.
That's so cool.
Isn't it? See, the left already knows this. It's not like I'm giving secrets out. They already know this stuff. But this is my theory is that if they're really sneaky and smart, if they're as smart as I think they are, and I hope they are, they know this too. And they're looking at the Constitution. This is why you're not seeing the electors come forward yet, because Trump can't take office until January 21st. And when he does, that'll be less than 2 years, and he's perfectly legal to run in 2024 for another full term, because he will serve less than 2 years of the term that was stolen from him. Wouldn't that be interesting?
Yeah, that sounds fabulous.
Okay. Well, you can tell Dell. Tell so the here at the Ideas Factory, we look into stuff like that. So do you have any questions for me? I don't think I've given you the opportunity to do that. Ask me anything about legislation, about, you know, how we got here, things, you know, goals, dreams, a bill that you might want to write, your advertising bill. We can outline it right now, you know, for as long as we've got you. Jim's on the line, but he hasn't talked to us yet. And, of course, our other folks – no one else has called in. They always call in the last 45 minutes, so we might get somebody else here soon. But do you have a question for me?
Well, see, my problem is I don't know what I don't know. I can't even to ask you because I don't know anything about legislation, obviously, or the law, and I really struggle with that. So I don't know how to fix these things that you're able to break down. I'm really an idiot with respect to politics. It's interesting because I worked, you know, from June 10th, 1980 to May 11, 2001 at the National Cancer Institute, you know, intramurally, which means, you know, because scientists were supposed to be free from politics, we were actually discouraged from declaring political parties. So I literally, my most of my life, 99% of my voting life, I vote independent. I don't vote Democrat or Republican. I actually never voted for Trump until 2020, because in 2016, Tony Fauci had his felony fugitive from justice charge up that never was anything, but mm-hmm. it's still held as a felony, and I actually couldn't vote. I couldn't vote, and I didn't know my vote wouldn't count in 2020, and it didn't.
Well, I was in Florida, so mine counted. Yeah.
I was able to go into Ventura this year and say, you're not playing that game again. And there were people in the hallway that said, hey, Dr. Judy, you know, and I said, yeah, those machines are taped all over. And the people were just standing back there like, oh, no, the machine. And I'm like, look, I want to pay. Oh, no, we'll give you a paper ballot. You know, Ms. Mikovits, you know, no, I'm not Ms.
Mikovits, not with a Z.
That person doesn't exist. I'm Dr. Mikovits and Ms. Noldy. Let's get the terms right. You know, when they use the wrong name, they're trying to play a game with you. Well, none of those people in those lawsuits existed because they called them Mrs. Mikovits, you know, thinking they were going to offend me by taking the doctor off. Well, the Mrs. Mikovits, you know, kind of don't exist anymore, except for my sister-in-law, and she's very sweet, and my niece is still Mikovits. But other than that, honey, there, you know, that's not me. I don't know who that person was. But anyway, sorry, I don't know a question to ask you.
Okay, no, that's fine. Like I say, this is something that you wouldn't have expected me to do, because I just thought of it literally, you know, the second before I asked you. this is the ADHD brain. So if anybody wants to study how an ADHD brain works, listen to the show, because my brain is on hyperdrive all the time. You don't want to be in my head. There's no room. there's too much going on, and not necessarily productively, but it's there. All right, well, let's talk about your drug bill. So you want to ban the advertising of drugs on TV? Or where do you want to, or on in all media, online?
All media. Direct okay. to consumer advertising. You know, because so, you'll turn on mm-hmm. the TV right now, and it just like Josie was talking about. What do you mm-hmm. mean get a childhood vaccine? Wait a minute. What about they've never been tested? What about that commercial for Opdivo, the cancer drug? A chance at life. If you take this immunotherapy that costs $50,000 a dose, you have a chance to live longer. You know what the longer was approved by the FDA? 2 weeks. Stop it. It's criminal.
What? So why do you want to ban the advertising?
Because it's criminal. They're fraud. People okay. don't know. It says, oh, tell your doctor if you're going to have a vaccine or if you are allergic to any of the ingredients in the vaccine, or if you mm-hmm. have type 2 neuroplasia. Your doctor doesn't know what that is. And so these people are going there saying, I want this drug. I really want this. And they don't know they're being lied to. It goes right back to your other thing about compensatable. Oh, you asked for it. You consented.
Okay. So is this authorized in law that they can do this? Because I know cigarettes, I guess, were taken off. Is this Federal Trade Commission, or where would I find the laws governing the fact that they can do this? Because I think you've mentioned, someone else mentioned, that my other bill writer said only the United States and New Zealand allows direct advertising of drugs to the public. So where do they get permission to do this? Have you looked into the law itself?
I don't know where they get permission to do this, but okay. it should be against the law. So that's what I can't answer. I don't know, because we've okay. tried over and over again to get these commercials taken down. We're only
have you
one
tried it, though?
Two countries. Yes, yeah. us and New Zealand. Yeah, no, I have not tried it, because remember, until I've been on silenced in jail. I'm that bad person. I'm not allowed to talk to anybody.
You know? I am.
Until pandemic, I didn't get a voice for a really long time, 11
okay.
years.
Well, you're making up for it now, so don't worry about it. Life is good. All right.
That's what my sister Julie said. You asked for it.
Yeah, be careful what you wish for. So laws
right.
governing, hang on, we're going to find it, governing the advertising of drugs. Here we get up. Usually I go to the Cornell Legal Information Institute because they're the best. So let me see if I can put that up here. Cornell I let's see what comes up here. Ah, well, I told you they're the best. 21 CFR section 202.1, prescription drug advertisements. I found it. I got it right here. The ingredient information required by section 502N of the Federal Food and Drug Cosmetic Act shall appear together without any intervening written. The order of listing ingredients in the advertisement. The advertisement shall not employ a fanciful proprietary name. The advertisement shall not feature inert or inactive ingredients. The advertisement shall not designate a drug or ingredient. And B1, if an advertisement for a prescription drug bears a proprietary name or designation, yada, 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 we might just want to delete this whole section of law.
Right.
So if we delete this whole section of law, because all these laws are governing how drugs can be advertised, if you delete section, if you delete 21 CFR section 202.1, prescription drug advertisements, then they're not going to be able to do it. This might be the world's easiest bill. You know, section, you know, the Judy Mikovits bill, section 21 CFR, that's Code of Federal Regulations, section 202.1, prescription drug advertisements is hereby repealed. That might be your bill. It
perfect.
Might be, it might
perfect.
Be that just be, that simple.
That would be so fabulous. My
how long
my
did that take us?
Of all that science.
That took
that
us.
That took us about
a minute.
10 minutes.
Oh, okay.
A
well, yeah, we talked about it for a little while. Yeah, but to find it, it took about a minute to find it because I can't. I have to reach around my microphone to type this. Right. We've already got it here. Now, of course, now what I want to do is I'm going to, just to make sure, I look at the laws above and below. I always go around these things just to make sure there aren't extra little, you know, minefields, you know, waiting for somewhere else. But that's something that Congress has to do, too. See, part of the duty of the committee staff, when they look at these bills, they have to research and see if they're, they have to have compliance with other laws. In other words, if they didn't make sure that a new law didn't violate another law, or was, you know, they didn't have conflicting stuff, then all the laws would be at cross purposes and the lawyers wouldn't be able to get anything done. So that's part of their job as committee staff. Now, we don't have to do that. We pay them to do that. So I don't have to do this, but I do it anyway, just in case. So I'm going to look around for obvious minefields. But it seems to me that this came up pretty fast, you know, 21 CFR section 202.1, prescription drug advertisements. And it seems to outline, so I've never seen this law before. I mean, we're literally doing this as so folks listening on live radio in Azerbaijan and you know, and Iran and all the places that are listening to us right now and our new listeners in the Solomon Islands, wherever else on the, that has appeared on our world map. This is how citizen legislation works. So we're actually doing it in real time, as they say. There's a lot of stuff here. They pre-statements, they cover false, lacking in fair balance, otherwise misleading. This looks like Federal Trade Commission stuff. That's what I think the law is. That's what it strikes me as. Advertisements that may be false, lacking in fair balance, or otherwise misleading. That's a big section. A lot of stuff on. This is a big section. We got a lot of stuff here. Effective date note, June 26, 1979. So this has been around for a while. Revised 1979. This really hasn't been, I guess they had something in 1999. But this hasn't been touched for a long time. Yeah. So basically they've made sure that the drug advertisements are fair and balanced, kind of like Fox News. That's all they're saying, though. Yeah. They don't say, you know, and they don't say what you can't do, but that's basically, so they have all these sections that basically say this is what drug advertisements have to be, but they don't say that. So here's what I would do. Let's make it stronger. So if we say 21 CFR section 202.1, prescription drug advertisements is hereby repealed and replaced by the following. There shall be no advertising of drugs or other medical products, put whatever you want in here, allowed on media, social media, internet, or anywhere else. And that's it. So let's write a ban. So this is how we do this bill. Make sense so far? We take out the section that allows advertising. Yeah, go ahead.
Because the fair and balanced is that part of the commercial that says, tell your doctor if you have neuroendocrine neoplasia type 2, and I'm always throwing a pillow at the TV because their doctor doesn't know what that is, or if you're going to get a vaccine. Well, they just mandated you get a vaccine, and you have to tell your doctor if you're taking the Opdivo or the other immune therapies because you're always going to have an adverse event. Yeah, so ban the whole thing. So they made it fair and balanced while they're showing this lovely black couple looking up at the sign in New York, up Devo, a chance to live longer, and everybody wants that chance to share with their grandchildren. It's horrible. And then they're just running that screen of small print that says, here's all the things that can happen to you if you take that drug. And your doctor doesn't know either, but you just asked for it, and therefore you consented to, and it's criminal. Ban.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So let's ban it. Just say there shall be a ban on all advertising of prescription drugs, medical devices, anywhere that the public might have access to, including all media, all social media, internet. So a big blanket statement, like anywhere public might have access to this information. So that pretty much does it. People talk about it privately. Okay, fine.
And maybe you want to put in the word FDA approved, because what do they do to us in the nutraceutical field? They say we can't make label claims. Well, you can't either. You can't call it a vaccine because it's not. You've never proven it provided immunity. So FDA approved. So let's just stick it to those criminals while we're at it.
Okay. I'm writing. Because
then we can advertise our nutraceuticals because the FDA doesn't approve us making label claims. I'm not making any claims I don't have proof for. FDA approved products, medical devices, because they're all like they're arresting us for practicing without a license. And they, they're literally criminally liable for other people who don't know what they're doing, practicing something that they think is FDA approved. This is the problem. The FDA is one of the biggest problems, and that's why I said just get it at the top. It's not mass psychosis. Put Stephanie Seneff in, who proved our food was toxic. Glyphosate mm-hmm. is poison that causes cancer. You're fired, whoever is at the top of FDA. And none of these things, these products, these nutritional supplements like Paxamune, purified, highly purified, bovine, cow interferon, it's fabulous. And it was the healing all the way back for HIV/AIDS. It was a healing. It was, that was the commercial we'll get Dr. Alima. Oh, this is the chapter in our book about Joe Cummins, who was the veterinarian, MD, the veterinarian mm-hmm. who made this interferon to use as food and as a supplement so animals don't express their virus and we don't eat poisonous food from the hormone, the vaccinated animals that pop their viruses just like we pop our viruses when we're poisoned by glyphosate. So, and the plants, the GMO, that's what we were talking about in the first place. Plants mm-hmm. have immune system and it's not food and we can't metabolize it. It's poison. So we're literally, we, the people using food as medicine as God intended, are silenced or arrested by the criminal FDA while they're poisonous. They were safety alone. That's the other thing I want. I want that the FDA no longer has any authority for approval of any kind of drug, food, product, anything with appropriate safety testing has been done. They gave themselves efficacy in the mid-60s. They don't get efficacy of drugs. Some administrator can't tell a doctor how to use a product. I always say, I discovered it. I'll use it any way I want. And this is the problem. They jail me anyway. This is the problem. Doctors can't think like Jim Thorpe and others and Ben Marble. We can't use God-given natural products or the drugs the taxpayers have paid for. We've developed fabulous drugs if we use them and support the nutritional support of the immune system. My mm-hmm. patents are around using natural products to support, therefore you use less drug. The patent is for the prostate cancer drug Casodex. And so if we use a natural product compound I helped develop called Anustat, and of course mm-hmm. they wanted to get FDA approval and the FDA would never give it to them because of course we'd cure cancer at a hundredth of the cost and all these other things. As you take Anustat, which is a thermostat, if you will, to stop the toxic side effects from many different pathways. This is kind of my job, so I don't have to go off. This is what I do for a lifetime. And so the FDA stops us They won't approve the natural products that help, or they mm-hmm. stop us from using the things that will stop the damage of chemotherapy, of radiation therapy, of other things. Therefore, their poison just kills people. But we can use the drugs the taxpayers have paid for, and the taxpayers paid for them. That's get rid of the Bayh-Dole Act. So we're going to give you a lot of work today, Greg, because...
No, actually, I'm just writing down. Nope. I'll take notes on our podcast. But, yeah, I've got to... Well, my question is with the FDA. Do you want to get rid of the FDA? Do you want to change how they approve drugs? Okay, so we're going to keep the FDA. We're going to change how they approve
drugs.
Keep the
FDA because safety. The only thing that matters is safety. If a drug, nutraceutical, medical device, anything else mm-hmm. is shown safe, in extended studies, phase 1, 2, 3, the way we did our drugs, clinical trials, phase 1, 2, 3, safe for long term, the way we designed the use of the product, that's the FDA, safe, and drug safety. Our food is poison. It's toxic with GMOs are poison. Glyphosate is poison. Stephanie Seneff. What I want is Stephanie Seneff at the head of the FDA and somebody with integrity and who knows. Yeah, our food is not safe. It's poison. Their job. It's weaponized against us. It's weaponized. That's all those terms you used in the last bill. So that it enhances the toxicity of vaccines. Glyphosate, okay. as we talked about, enhances the toxicity of viruses ejected into the immune system. That's what Stephanie and I just solved for autism. It's not the glyphosate that causes autism or the aluminum that causes autism or the XMRV, the mouse, monkey, or manufactured virus in the vaccine that causes autism. It's the combination, and the poorest are forced to eat the toxic food. There's no such thing as junk food. It's GMO. If it's genetically modified, it's junk.
It's junk.
It's not food.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So
the food safety, not efficacy, not does a drug work. So they've been telling doctors, oh, you can't use that drug for this. You have to use that drug for this. You can only use this drug off-label use. What do you
what's
mean
off-label?
Off-label use?
What's off-label?
So the FDA approves the labeling of nutraceuticals, so you can't use a drug off-label. If the drug Casodex was made for prostate cancer, even though the pathway is the same for myalgic encephalomyelitis, that inflammatory pathway, the pathway is the same. So they wouldn't let me use the drug for the prostate cancer in MECFS because they said, you're crazy. Well, it works. I used it. I use it all the time. I use the highly active antiretroviral therapy. Hear me really well, FDA. I buy the drugs. They give them to me. When you give Genvoya and Truvada and all those highly active antiretroviral therapies that actually are prophylactic, keep HIV copy number down to zero so you can live your lifestyle and not spread AIDS, HIV, I use those drugs because people give them to me. You know, the FDA gives them away on the streets of San Francisco and the taxpayers.
No, the drug pushers.
That's
what drug pushers
do. Mail them to me. They mail them to me, and I make another formulation, and I'm Robin Hood. I give them to the people they poisoned. Hear me really well, because we're having a lot of fun. Come arrest me, gang. You can't find me. I'm on the road all the time.
That's funny. I don't think Jim was too busy. He didn't get a chance to call in today. And, of course, your stalker's left, too. Everybody's leaving. It's just you and me again. Well, this has been fascinating. First of all, I'm incredibly grateful for all the time that we had so I could ask you all these questions that sometimes when we get busy, I don't get a chance to do. I think what it's sounding like from what you're saying is that you, maybe a team of you doctor folks, need to write new guidelines for how drugs are approved. And base it on safety only. No, this is how you use it. No off-label, on-label. It's either safe or it's not. And that should
correct.
Be
correct. And that's what the FDA was supposed to do. Safe
okay.
or not. So the FDA shall not determine efficacy. Of vaccine. Safe and efficacious. They're safe and efficacious. They work. No, they don't work. You don't get to decide if they work because every individual is different if they work. They don't work in everybody, and it depends on the food. And it depends on your environment. It depends on your genetics, such that if your vitamin D receptors, if you live near the equator, they amplify the signal. So your vitamin D has to be different. Your glutathione is differently made according to your needs. Your immune system responds to more viruses or parasites depending on where you live. This is why these anti-parasitic drugs like ivermectin and Cerumin are in Africa, where the parasites are the problem. The RNA viruses are only the problem because they're injecting them in the vaccine. So again, it's just safety. It's very simple. No product. The Food and Drug Administration, their charge was safety. You know, when you say Chipotle, or when they go out on the TV in the evening news and they say, oh, there's a bad batch, a bunch of people got food poisoning. They got sick from a lot of spinach, a lot of meat. Something was not right, a microorganism. So, you know, go back into and look at, I remember only Chipotle a few years ago, there was a bad batch of something. So they told everybody, they told Chipotle manufacturers, destroy this lot number. So you see, every product has a lot number, a batch number of what you make. Every vaccine has a batch number. That's why I've been arguing about these shots. Because you need to know the batch number, because every batch is different. So what are you boosting with? What's the batch you got the first time? And they just abandon all of that because of this wonderful emergency. No, you can't mix lots. They become different drugs. And the FDA is currently trying to say, nope, nope, nope. Anything that's in this class, even if we change a base pair or two in the coronavirus, if it becomes the Omicron variant because we changed a base pair or two, the vaccine for Omicron is the same as the vaccine. It doesn't matter if you change a base pair or two as long as you don't change 10% of the virus. And that's absolutely criminal. One base pair changes the product. And so you see they're quickly right now writing all the laws, you know, to say, you know, we can do whatever we want and we don't have to look, because they're already caught doing illegal things by mixing lots. That's against every law everywhere.
Well, this is going to be a bigger project, because I pulled up 21.
Lots?
Yeah. No, here's what I got.
How many
I
lots
got
of there are every drug? That's a really, you know, the lot number matters. They're required by that vaccine injury compensation program, your doctor, to write the lot number of the shot you got. Why? So people like me can go back and figure out what component of it caused the synergies and the response.
Well, that's interesting.
Because you don't usually see the injury the first shot. You see it with the auto-inflammatory, the flame gets too high reaction with the second shot, that allergic reaction. What does that term mean? So on those commercials, they said, if you're allergic to any part of the shot, well, how do you know if you're allergic to any part of the drug if nobody knows what's in it? And nobody knows what's in it because nobody's ever looked, because that way they're not liable. So the whole FDA is safety alone. And when you establish safety, that would mean ivermectin and Cerumin, safety. They're 100-year-old essential medicines. We don't have to prove our God is better than their product. You know, I don't have to prove vitamin C is safe. I don't. It's a vitamin. It's given by God. So we grandfather drugs like aspirin in. And we know aspirin kills 100,000 people a year who are sensitive to the bleeding problems of the drug. Mm. But we call it grandfathering it in to being allowed to be used without label claims, because even though it kills 100,000 people worldwide a year. You know the risk, so it's grandfathered in because only certain people respond badly. So I know, I do know I'm talking off, but I'm with Stephanie
now,
and she was saying how many lots.
Hi, Stephanie.
You know, how many lots?
This is fascinating, by the way.
Okay, good. Well, you can call in sometime. Well, if you have a cell phone, you can call
exactly.
in, too.
I wasn't aware
feel free.
Of the show. Judy was just telling me. I said, okay, I have to follow this from now on. So.
Yeah, this is
okay,
a freedom
good.
Fighter, Stephanie, in Idaho. As I mentioned, that's where I am now. And so, it's very interesting because, you know, you're spearheading the way to write the laws, and we're here, working around the country and different people have different expertises, mm-hmm. And so we don't appreciate each other. That's why, like you say, you know, I love to hear Jim talk, and I mean, just because I know Jim hears things.
Well, you understand what he's saying,
I
too.
Say.
You understand him.
Well,
he understands
not always.
You.
Believe me. Believe me, not always. That's why,
okay.
You know, I write as fast as I can possibly write when you people talk because
no,
Judy,
everything's podcast. You can replay it over and over again and get all the words, you know, slowly and carefully. That's what I do. Sometimes I have to play over things you say 3 or 4 times and go, oh, that's what she said. You know, and that's why it's podcast. That's why we have a timeline.
Yeah,
so you never have to listen to the whole show. Just do it in sections. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's what Ken Heckenlively did. He taped every word I saw. I mean, is that man a hero or what? He's taped every word I said for the last 10 years.
Wow.
And
he doesn't have to tape our show.
God wins.
He doesn't have to tape us because it's all podcasts. You know, you can, like I say, you start the show and then the timeline appears at the top. It takes about 10, 15 seconds to load sometimes. But once the show starts, you know, you can click anywhere on that timeline, that pink timeline at the top of your page, and you can go right to your part. In fact, I take show notes, you know, but we talk about so much in the show, it's impossible to do show notes. You do have to listen in sections because we cover so much ground here.
Well, the reason why I can't
take it
transcribed is mm-hmm. every one of them, he transcribed them as legal documents. They're declarations, and they're absolutely 100% a legal document. That's why nobody can come after me for any word that I say, is because I have my lawyer, Kent Heckenlively, and he, every single word, and this is why Fauci, whoever, nobody ever, all they say is Judy's ugly or whatever else they say. She talks funny. I don't know.
It doesn't really matter. You're kind of cute
crazy.
Myself.
I don't really care what they say. The fact of the matter is we handed that terabyte hard drive to the FBI. Oh, wait a minute. We handed every word I ever said to the FBI in May of 2014. They could have mm-hmm. stopped COVID if they'd done the right thing. Is that the Ninth Circuit Court? Was that the court that had a little problem with President Trump? I mean, we could shut this whole thing down pretty quickly and prove intent and prove premeditated genocide, murder. On the population.
Oh, listen, I'm
simply with that terabyte hard drive that the FBI has. You know, what are they going to do with it? You know, you've got the evidence. We proved Obama was behind this. We proved the Bush is behind it, the Clinton's behind it. We proved everything I've told you in our 4 books, and they're all declarations and legal documents, just as if we were in a court of law.
So does that make my show a legal document now? It's kind of cool. I never thought about
it. Absolutely.
Okay.
If you transcribe it and translate it, and we under penalty of perjury, this is right and true. Let's do it. You have to write it down.
Huh. We got a lot of words because we've been on for – this is our 17th week. So
I have
so
some
Stephanie,
friends
some
who are
up
court
to
reporters.
Okay.
I have court reporters who do exactly that. What's a court reporter do? They transcribe it, and they take notes, and they type as fast as they can, and they try to have me spell the words right. So I have friends. In fact, my friend Marcia, maybe she's listening. She does exactly that. She transcribes court notes. So we'll put her to
work. Let's make it a book.
Make
it a book.
Let's do it.
We'll call it The World's Greatest Doctors Panel. We'll make a book, and each week will be a chapter. So 3 hours of what we say, that'll be a chapter. So this will be chapter 17. Oh, this is fun.
Well, that's fabulous.
This is
I'll
a great
tell
show.
My literary agent, Johanna.
It's almost done.
I'm
the book has already written itself.
Well, it is because we're just talking.
Great.
Yeah. Yeah. Because there's so much that we cover, you know, it would be fascinating. And then, of course, we have to have cross-reference glossaries and things like that. Stephanie, so what do you think so far? Do you want to write a bill? You want to join us in our little escapade here? A little adventure
incredible.
And freedom?
Incredible. Yeah, provide the background for me because I know I walked in way late into this conversation. So what is your role when you're talking about do you want to write the bill?
WriteYourLaws.com.
Let me summarize real quickly what happened. It started back in 2014, and I got and I wanted to be the world's greatest talk show host. I wanted to do something different, and I had a legislative background from college. In fact, I looked up my old constitutional law professor. He's still alive. I'm going to see if I can get him on the show. This is back from about 1980 when I took his constitutional law course, and then the semester after that, I had an internship in Washington. Long story short, I wanted to combine a citizen legislature, the ability to write laws, with a radio show. So not only could we write laws as people, we could write them on the air. we would have a website that would, and as technology developed, it sort of caught up. So we have a website called writeyourlaws.com. That's WRITEYOURLAWS. And so we have these two websites. We've got the show at blogtalkradio.com/citizenaction, where we talk about everything. And then we actually write bills, you know, based on what we talk about on the show. Those bills can then be distributed through writeyourlaws.com to any media outlet, any member of Congress, any state legislature, legislator, city council, school boards, county commissions, nationally. And we're also international because I've written a bill of rights, individual rights for Australia. And I did that with Jen Clark.
Oh my.
She was one of the trucking leaders, the Trucker Freedom Group that went from Melbourne to Canberra.
Yes.
About a year or so ago. Okay, so we wrote a Bill of Rights for Australia. So this is international. Our audience is booming right now in Canada, Australia, and England. And so they want freedom because they're under...
Is it shifting things?
Not yet.
I suppose awareness...
No, because I'm being censored so heavily. And so...
That's cool.
And I'll tell you this. Oh, yeah. Oh, unbelievable. Yeah, and here's what happened. So March 2nd of 2020, me and my big mouth, I said, there is no need for vaccines. It's all a joke. It's a hoax. You know, Dr. Fauci is ridiculous. There's no, you don't bring a vaccine. And this is me, this is before I knew Judy, before I knew anybody, before I met any of the doctors. I would just, basic logic.
Yep.
I said, you do not bring a vaccine to a disease that's already here because you can't build up immunity to it. It's too late. So then I thought, okay, what do we do? Well, so I wrote a bill February 27th, one of the groundbreaking bills. I said that Congress can only spend half the money on vaccines. They have to spend the other half on early treatments and cures. Apparently you can't use the word cure. So we'll just say early treatments for now. So, and because I knew about early treatments. How did I know about early treatments? Well, I read the Didier Rhodes study in Marseille, France. I said, look, we got the cure, chloroquine. Chloroquine kills COVID. So then I thought, you know, me with my ADHD brain, I said, well, what else kills COVID? And so I did about 2 hours of research. My chair's scrumped the rug here. Anyway, so I did about 2 hours of research and found that viruses kill viruses. Viruses and drugs kill viruses. Viruses can be laser targeted like a bomb, like a smart bomb to attack other viruses and all the stuff that Judy knows, right? But I didn't know any of this stuff. So I said, well, wait a minute. So vaccines are not the only way to kill a virus, because nobody was thinking about killing the virus. They're all thinking about getting a vaccine. I thought, why do they want a vaccine? Well, then I learned there's money in it. And from that way, I'm like, wait a minute. So 2 weeks before, 2 weeks to slow the spread, I had already said this is a hoax. This is a farce. This is a joke. And guess what happened to all my Facebook posts and my social media and all the listeners, the thousands of listeners that used to listen to my show before March 2nd of 2020? They disappeared. I went from 8,000 to 5 the next day. Well, how did that happen? And that was when I was introduced to censorship. And it's been pretty much that way ever since. Now, all the shows that we're doing now are going to be huge historical records because the people that know. And so the folks, those of us in sort of like the underground legislators, when this thing breaks, I'll tell you when it's going to be really interesting. When this vaccine product liability bill breaks out big time, when folks like Del Bigtree, and I've already been on with Emil Robinson, when Mike Lindell gets a hold of this and takes it to President Trump, and all this happens hopefully before the midterm elections, you are going to see an explosion of citizen legislation. And people are going to go, look what we've just discovered. I'm like, yeah, I started this in 2014, pal. The overnight success after 8 years, which actually isn't bad. But that's how it all started. Start with an idea on a bike ride, and it's grown to this. And now we're at a point where anybody in the country using the show and our website, writeyourlaws.com, has the potential to write a bill which could end up on the president's desk. That's what we've got going.
Shocked. I haven't heard of till now, but not shocked because of the level of censorship.
Mm-hmm.
But definitely, I'm definitely interested. So
yeah, and we've built
informing.
Up a lot more listeners too. Yeah, we've built up a lot more since those days, those dark days of March 2020.
Do you have an email?
Greg at writeyourlaws.com. That's my public email.
Okay.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah. Okay. So we got to get you on the show. You got to call back in next week so we can chat.
Absolutely.
Okay. Tell your friends. They'll tell their friends.
Yeah.
We have two bills. Actually, we have a second bill too. Let me go over that real quickly too. This one's actually pretty short. So the second bill is how we end big tech censorship, because of course we have to do that too, right? Judy, did you have a point before I do this? I'm just going to do it real quickly.
Oh, no, I want you to tell it to it for sure.
Okay. All right. So you go to writeyourlaws.com, WRITEYOURLAWS, writeyourlaws.com. And where do you find the good stuff? The bills that are ready for Congress and the state legislatures and the local governments. If you look on the menu bar, you'll see it'll say home. So you want to read the home page. That'll tell you how everything works. The next item on the menu bar is legislation. Now, if you click on legislation, the first thing you'll see is propose a new law. That's where you, Stephanie, write your bill. And that's all self-explanatory from the first page and some of the second page. The next section is citizen bill ideas. That's our workshop. That's where our bills go, where we're commenting, we're taking things like Judy and I are working on a bill now. That's where it goes. You go to citizen bill ideas. And once it's ready to go for submission to whatever level of government, and it could be many, then it goes to the next section, all proposed laws. So the laws we're talking about, the vaccine bill, the censorship bill I'm about to tell you about, the constitutional amendment taking away the power of Congress to borrow money, the illegal alien asset forfeiture bill, the bill that ends withholding tax while you're earning your standard deduction, all these different things that we do, they're all in all proposed laws. Those are the good ones, including the Bill of Rights for Australia. So we figured it all out. We got the whole system working. Pretty cool, huh?
It's amazing. And is it mostly do any of the other citizens also have legal backgrounds? And
No, we avoid lawyers. I only have one lawyer on the show that I'll let on because he's cool. No, none of us have a legal background. In fact, as I'm proud to say that I'm uniquely qualified for everything I do here. I do not have a broadcast degree. I do not have a law degree. I do have an economics, degree, but that's kind of, it was from a bunch of Marxists at the University of Massachusetts. So that hardly counts. But quite frankly, I'm not qualified for anything that I do here academically. I'm not. And yet here we are. So go figure.
Well, there are students of the law that aren't attorneys and aren't part of the bar and aren't turning over our wealth.
But think about it. What do lawyers write? Lawyers write 3,000-page bills. Okay, my vaccine product liability bill is maybe a page and a half, maybe two.
Okay.
That's why.
Yeah, I have to tell you, a friend of mine in Wisconsin said, if you want your bills to actually go through, make them too many pages to paraphrase the Alexander Hamilton musical, make them too damn many pages for any man to understand. Because a friend of mine, she grew up in Wisconsin, and her uncle just wanted to make the polka the state song, and it was only a page, and they debated about it for a week.
Oh, no.
It was too cool.
Well, we lost a little bit of what you said, so we need to recap just a second. What happened with the polka?
Oh, that so my friend's uncle in Wisconsin tried to get the polka, he wrote a bill
song.
To put the state song, and it was so simple and only like a page or page and a half that they debated about it for about a week.
That sounds good.
Because
did it pass?
Understand?
Did it pass?
I'm not sure. Follow up story to that, but I thought that was pretty funny. And what
that
she said, her uncle learned: if you want to get things passed, make it really complicated because people don't even have time to go through it, so they just pass it.
Well, and actually, but this bill isn't written for legislators. That's the last place the bill goes. This is written for people. This is written for regular people. Just like the Constitution is written for regular people. And so we avoid lawyers because they learn in law school really stupid things, like the Supreme Court interprets the Constitution. That's a bunch of nonsense. Go ahead, Stephanie.
Yep, sorry, that got hitted. But, yes, they do the legalese. They deliberately make it complicated to make you feel like you're not smart, can't possibly take action, and you better hand your power over to them because they're the only ones who can get the job for you. Oh, thank goodness, let's keep voting harder.
And let me tell you this bill here. So I'll give you, well, we know what happened. I'm going to skip the stuff, but basically the way this bill works is that big tech was given this amazing authority. So the current law, Title 47, Section 230, this is the infamous Section 230, C, protection for Good Samaritan blocking and screening of offensive material. It says treatment of publisher or speaker. Well, the publisher or speaker, it says no provider or user of an interactive computer service shall be treated as a publisher or speaker. Okay, so that part's good. So in other words, the people, if you're treated as a publisher, that means you're liable. Okay, so neither the user or the provider, it really is for the provider. Provider's not liable for anything that a user posts. That's a good thing, which means they don't have to take any action. But then they had the second part, which says civil liability. No provider or user of an interactive computer service shall be held liable on account of, and this is the bad part, any action voluntarily taken in good faith to restrict access to or availability of material that the provider or user, it's really for the provider, considers to be obscene, lewd, lascivious, filthy, excessively violent, harassing, or, and this is the bad part, otherwise objectionable. All right? So what that means is big tech can take anything out of social media. They can arrange search engines in any way they want, and it's perfectly legal. Because if they do it in good faith, and they've got this Good Samaritan Clause, Section C of Section 230C, it's perfectly legal. So Congress, just as they gave liability immunity to vaccine makers, they gave complete immunity over the internet for anything they want to do to big tech. That is irrational. But that's the problem. So everything big tech does is legal. Now.
Yeah, that's super obvious really quickly, including if you're even talking about spiritual topics.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I have a friend who's authored some books on spiritual subjects, and she, on a page she's an admin of, she was just announcing when she was going to be interviewed on something, and they said it was spam and stopped her page. She can't get the word out about what she's doing to even give humanity some hope and clarity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it was otherwise objectionable. Well, otherwise objectionable can mean anything, okay? But that's in the law. So you read the law. Now, you don't have to be a lawyer to read this. There's nothing complicated about it. It's very simple. The hard part is finding it. You know, but once you found it, you know, the nice thing about the laws is they're public. They can't hide the law. They can obscure. They can do propaganda. They can tell you can't read the law because you're not a lawyer. They can do all that stuff, but they can't hide the law. Once you realize that, the rest becomes simple. Now, here's the flaw. Here's the flaw in the logic of Section 230. Why would you give tech the ability to police the internet when the obscenity laws, the pornography laws, and the child pornography laws especially already police the internet? The internet is already policed. You don't have to make something illegal twice, right? So if you take away all of those things, those good faith exemptions, lewd, lascivious, excessively violent, or otherwise objectionable, the internet is just as protected as it was before through the normal obscenity pornography laws enforced by the Justice Department, if they ever actually enforce justice, you know, state law enforcement, local law enforcement, things like that. So the internet is still protected from the things that everything else is protected against, pornography and obscenity. So why would you give that power to big tech? Unless you want a big tech to have a power that they shouldn't have that's already covered by something else. And that's what I think happened.
Yeah, so, which is the good what Stephanie was just saying. Oh, so they get to be God. They get to tell you which God you're going to believe. Mm-hmm. The God of Tony Fauci or the God our Father in heaven. Yep. And it's clear that theirs is inverted. So,
but this should have been overturned on First Amendment grounds. Because why would you have a power that's not even law enforcement, that's not even dealing with obscenity or pornography or things that I guess society's determined to be illegal, and we can take that up in court too, depending on what it is. Why would these people have this power to violate everybody's First Amendment rights by offering something in what we call public accommodation, right? So this is open to the public. Mm-hmm. So social media and search engines are open to the public, and yet they have the power to silence free speech on a First Amendment ground. How come that didn't hit the Supreme Court 10 years ago?
I think because they called it Good Samaritan, and it has nothing to do with Good Samaritan. You don't get to be judge and jury of things you don't know. Tell us
and good faith. They said good faith, too. They were only trying. They were trying to do the right thing. Play the angelic choirs, you know, cue the sunshine of God. Just like, go ahead. La-dee-dee. They were good faith. Dearly beloved, we are gathered here.
Yeah, but good faith. Oh, good faith to Big Pharma. Good faith to the God of scientism. Good faith to our God of pharma. Good faith to the techno. Good faith. Who is it? Noah Yuval Harari. Good faith to the globalists. Our faith isn't in the globalists. Mm-hmm. Our faith is in God. And this is a war against our God. This is a war. These are hate crimes. They're not good Samaritans. They're protecting. They're destroying our world. And if we don't worship them, good faith to which master are we talking about?
Exactly. Now, I never thought about it until you just said that. But what they're really doing is elevating big tech to big God. That's what they've done here with this good faith and good Samaritan language. It's right out of the Bible. It's kind of interesting when you think about it, but that's a brilliant point. Bless you, Judy.
And they told you.
Yeah, they did.
They told you that.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Let's give her a round of applause. Good one, Judy. Five sound effects, too. I got all kinds of things here. All right. So let me give you the cure. So The Cure, Section 230C, I've got the treatment of publisher or speaker. In other words, we keep the immunity. Well, let me hear the current part. So I get rid of the old parts. This is the new part A and B of Section C. It's kind of confusing, I know. But the first part says, no provider of interactive computer services shall be liable for any action, interaction, anything post, or any content from or by any user of interactive computer services. So what that means is the providers, that's big tech. Us, we're the users. So if somebody posts something horrible, illegal, obscene, pornographic, you know, whatever, how the worst thing in the world, if they post it, then big tech's not liable for that. And you have to make it that way because you can't make, you can't have them have liability if they can't do anything about it. So you make them, so you give them immunity. So you are immune from liability of what anybody posts, however disgusting it is. Yeah, I didn't call law enforcement, but so can anybody else. And anybody who doesn't want to see something graphically violent can simply turn it off, you know, or call the local officials. That's where the obscenity and the pornography laws come in. So you tell big tech, you're not liable. You are not, you are immune from liability from anything anybody posts. However, and this is where it gets fun, Section B. Any contact, infringement, interaction, limitation or interference, or any other touching in any way, no matter how minuscule, with any of the following by any provider of interactive computer services, that's big tech, shall void and revoke all civil liability immunity from that provider. And that would be the actions, interactions, postings, comments of any and all content on social media. Any account or any account status on social media, any change or arrangement of search engine results, start again, search engine results beyond the actual, raw, and untouched number of hits. So they retain their liability immunity unless they touch a post, they touch an account, or they touch a search engine result by manipulating it in any way. And that is how you stop big tech. In 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 lines of law.
So give yourself Stephanie? A round of applause.
Oh, give myself a round of applause. I've never done that. Wait a minute. Here we go. Let me give myself a round of applause. I just obscured my computer screen. I hit the wrong button. Let me play a different one here. Let's try this one. So that's how you stop big tech? This isn't that tough, is it? When you look at it, this is pretty – well, it takes me about an afternoon to write one of these bills. It takes probably a couple more months to perfect them with all the different additions, comments, things like that. But I usually think about them from anywhere from 2 weeks to a month ahead of time. And then I get like about 90% of it down in an afternoon. And then we just improve it. Mm-hmm. And this is our big tech bill. So between big tech and the vaccine liability bill, you know, so we're putting liability on vaccine manufacturers, and we're taking away that's my 10-second warning. I'm not going to worry about it. That we take away the power of big tech to touch anything online. We could change the world with these two bills.
Absolutely. Yeah, that sounds like a knockout.
Okay.
One and a two.
Yeah. And then, if we've got a few more seconds, I'll tell you the big one. The big bill.
Okay.
Is let me see
go.
If I can just pull it up here real quickly. Now I'm going to get rid of these two. Let me start a new window. Otherwise, I'll have trouble. Actually, no, I mean, I'm always afraid I'm going to push the wrong button. If I push the wrong button, I end the show. And so I don't want to do that. Here we go. Let me get my favorite. Actually, I have two favorite new bills, but one takes too long to explain. So let me give you, this is what I mean by short and to the point. This bill, constitutional amendment, Congress shall not have the power to borrow money. Wrote this May 21st. Constitutional Amendment, Article 1, Section 8 of the Constitution shall be amended by striking Clause 2 to borrow money on the credit of the United States. Section 8, Clause 1 shall be amended by adding at the end, and Congress shall have no power to borrow money on the credit of the United States, nor to print money to cover expenses greater than revenues. That's it. That's the entire amendment. No more borrowing of money, no more printing of money beyond revenues. Stephanie?
Yep. So you hit the.
Go ahead.
Yeah. So you're hitting big pharma, big tech, and big finance.
No, I'm hitting big government because all of our economics problems, all our economic problems result from Congress borrowing money. Where does inflation come from? Bending,
they kept printing
borrowing.
All the money to cover an existent emergency. Yep.
Well, it's not just emergencies, it's everything. Look at, they wanted to get rid of the student loan debt, which I call graduate student welfare. We rename a lot of stuff here, Stephanie. Okay.
Oh, that's
go ahead.
Call a spade a spade.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's okay. I call rhinos, you know, rhinos, Republicans in name only. Yeah, I now call them transgender Democrats.
Again, it's just appropriate. You're just seeing it for what it is.
Oh, yeah.
And being very clear.
Yep, fossil fuels and now organic fuels, assault weapons or freedom rifles. What else do we change around here? January 6th is the Capitol Hill Invitational walk-in. So we got a whole new language here. You're going to love the show, Stephanie.
Love that. Capitol Hill Invitational walk-in.
Yeah.
That's the Price is Right, the come on down. Yep. Meet the greeters. Meet the Capitol Hill greeters, you know, by the metal detectors and the open door. How do you call something a riot when they open the doors and tell you to come in? I mean, please. Anyway.
And so there just was a bifurcation point a long time ago. I was talking to my husband about this. When this fork was initially put in the road a couple of years back, starting to choose the perspectives that they were taking on this. Either you had eyes to see or you didn't. And now it's created this chasm now that we're a couple of years into it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that we've got really polarized, which obviously is by design, but I think bringing some of that just calling a spade language in instead of the deceptive language, it's a nice weapon to sort of cancel out all the deception.
Well, it's also a ridicule. It's also ways to make fun of these people, too.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
We do this. Yeah. Yeah. Good point. I'm trying to think of some of the other terms.
It is so ridiculous. Yeah. We do have that bigger chasm and challenge. So I really love this idea of, like, you keep putting the pressure points, like on a joint in martial arts before it gives. You get all these citizens to do this work and put the cracks in the dam. Eventually the dam has to break. But the more of us that kind of pile up, it's like straws on the camel's back, right?
Yep. Well, and this is the theory, because we don't have the billions of dollars that Big Pharma, Big Tech, and all these other companies have, right? So, but we do have votes and we have people. There's more of us than there are them. There's more of us than there are dollars of them. Okay, so they still have to win at the polls. Now, once we correct the election machines and, you know, get rid of the transcribing vote fraud machines and all that kind of stuff, once we get decent elections, we'll be in a lot better shape. But you can't count on elections. So this is a way for, you know, Jefferson put in the Declaration of Independence, you know, the just powers of government come from the consent of the governed. Doesn't say the powers of government, because the powers of government, they can make up their own powers. You know, look at the different branches, but the just powers of government come from the consent of the governed. So how do we give our consent? And the usual answer is on election day. Well, that's not enough, and that's been taken from us. So with Action Radio, with our citizen legislature, you can give your consent every day. And the mission statement of our show, you know, we the people give our consent to be governed through writing the laws by which we are governed. So our consent is writing the laws that we allow government to enforce on us. That is a revolutionary concept. That is brand new. That has never happened anywhere on earth. That the people actually write the laws by which they consent to be governed. That is the mission of this show. If I can get serious for a minute.
That's fabulous.
Yeah.
The thing, it really, again, it's the only thing that makes sense. It's the only thing that is just. Truly.
I agree. Yeah. And so millions of people, and it's going to take millions, you know, of people sending in the liability bill, the big tech bill to everybody in Congress, all the talk shows, all the media outlets, just bombard them. And all you have to do is copy the link and send it in. You know, dear congressperson, I want this bill. Here's the link. Pass it. Sincerely, your loyal constituent, or maybe not so loyal constituent, you know, but that's it. That's all you have to do. It's that simple.
Not loyal to abusers.
Oh, well, yeah, there you go. Yeah, that makes sense. I think you're right. So send it your own way. You know, got a little creativity here. But basically, that's it. Dear congressperson, pass this bill. Here's the link. That's it. And the bills get amended. Anytime someone clicks on the link, they get the latest version. These are self-correcting bills. Pretty neat system,
right?
Huh?
Yeah, it's a great system. We have to go now because the high wire's on.
Okay, go to high wire. Say hi to Dell for me and tell him that there's a whole citizen legislature waiting for him to broadcast to the world. So I have to go anyway. We're sort of out of time, but we're in overtime. So you folks go. Stephanie, nice to meet you. And we'll be back next
wonderful
week at 10 o'clock Central Time. Closing comments?
Wonderful. I'll see you there. Thank you for enlightening me and explaining everything in such a simple, straightforward, clear way, because that's what's going to be needed to just cut through the deception and the deceptive speaking.
Yep. Oh, I can't wait to hear what they say about me. Racist, sexist, homophobe, white supremacist, yada, yada, yada.
Sure.
It's going to be fun.
It's all
Judy, thank you so much. Go ahead, Stephanie. I'm sorry.
I said that. Anybody who's been on the right side of history is used to that at this point, and it's water off a duck's back, and we just keep going. We just keep swimming.
We do. You're going to inspire me. I can tell. Got to get you legislating. We'll get your husband legislating, too. We'll get him on as well. Yeah.
Expand those numbers and that energy. And that wave of positive energy, that'll have a little ripple effect that'll really make the shift.
Sounds good to me. And Judy, thank you again for 3 hours of you know, just us, you know, doing what we do here. I really appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate it too, Greg. It was a lot of fun today. You helped clarify not only my talks for the Cairo Fest this weekend, but also how, you know, because Stephanie's popping off to some meetings in Florida. She might be near you because you're in Florida.
Where?
I'm in Milton near Pensacola. So, yeah, you got my email. You know, we'll your people call my people. We'll do lunch. We'll figure it out.
I'll definitely be in touch.
Okay. Sounds good to me. Yeah. All right. You two go say hi to Dell for me, and we'll do it again next week.
Okay.
All right. Goodbye now. I got a couple more things to play. And so anybody wants to stick around and listen for a bit, or you can catch it on the podcast. But I'm going to mute Judy's line, and that way they can take off and just got – let me see what else I want to play here. I played that. Just a couple more things. I'm going to do my Santa Rosa Volunteers, our piece on the Federalist Papers. This is Greg Penglis for Strike Force, your source for pure energy. Strike Force is a concentrated energy drink that turns a half liter of your favorite beverage into an energy drink. You make your energy drink yourself. Action Radio is an affiliate of Strike Force, so our listeners get a 20% discount. All you do is add our code WYL to the discount code window at checkout. WYL comes from our website, Write Your Laws. So, you can get your energy drink, a 20% discount, and help Action Radio change the relationship of we the people to our government. Not bad. Strike Force is at StrikeForceEnergy.com. That's StrikeForceEnergy.com. Start your engine. We have so much fun here, but we do need some sponsors. So if you want to have an ad made, this is the place. Here at Action Radio, we are looking for sponsors. We have 30 and 60-second spots available for your announcements. And we have 3-minute live call-ins to talk about your products and services available. Action Radio is the next evolution beyond talk radio. Join us and let us help your business evolve. Think about being a sponsor of the future and not just a listener, and help us help your business grow as you help us plunge headlong into breaking new ground here on Action Radio every day. Okay, so we'll be working on another Federalist Papers, probably Federalist number 14 as we work our way through. But the Anti-Federalist 13, it's a little bit long, but I found it so fascinating that I didn't want to shortchange it. So, and we have our YouTube channel, Action Radio Founding Moments. I think there's a little dash in between. So look up Action Radio Founding Moments, and you'll find all of these pieces on the Declaration of Independence, separation of church and state, the Articles of Confederation, Constitution, preamble, things like that. It's all there. And so I'm working my way through all the Federalist and the Anti-Federalist Papers. This project probably take about 2 years maybe to complete at this point. But here we go. Anti-Federalist number 13. And after that, I will just let y'all go, and I'll see you tomorrow for our early show, 6 in the morning Central Time for Action Radio on Fridays. This is Greg Penglis for Action Radio with Founding Moments, insights into our founding documents, sponsored by Santa Rosa Volunteers here in Santa Rosa County, Florida. Santa Rosa Volunteers is available at their website, srv1776.com. That's SRV1776.com. Anti-Federalist Paper number 13 was written by our old anonymous friend under the name A. Farmer. The paper is titled The Expense of the New Government, referring to the Constitution being considered for ratification on this date, October 17, 1787. In the first paragraph, a farmer complains about overpaid government bureaucrats, even from the Articles of Confederation. Regarding that, he says, "The truth is, when you carry a man's salary beyond what decency requires, he immediately becomes a man of consequence and does little or no business at all." That pretty much explains our multi-trillion dollar bureaucrat welfare establishment workforce. They knew it even before our Constitution was ratified. The second paragraph starts with a call to action. It implores all to make sure that if the Constitution is ratified by the states, it must include a Bill of Rights. Sadly, it did not until many years later. But A. Farmer and the Anti-Federalists knew that without one, the Constitution was for the government and not for the people. He says, "Rouse up, my friends, a matter of infinite importance is before you on the carpet, soon to be decided in your convention. The new Constitution. Seize the happy moment. Secure to yourselves and your posterity the jewel liberty, which has cost you so much blood and treasure by a well-regulated Bill of Rights from the encroachments of men in power. For if Congress will do these things in the dry tree when their power is small, what won't they do when they have all the resources of the United States at their command?" Well, we all know what they would do. They would create a coup to steal the government and rule by the tyranny of mandates, none of which are legal, and all of which constitute the very insurrection they blame on the true government and those who support it. A. Farmer continues by describing the proper place of bureaucrats in relationship to the people in terms of what this paper is all about, that being the expense of government, in this case, people who work in it. He says, "They are the servants of the public. You have an undoubted right to set their wages, or at least to say, thus far, you and those under you may go and no further. This would, in the end, ease Congress of a great deal of trouble, as it would put a stop to the impertinence of individuals in asking large salaries." You can usually tell the evil or folly of a government program or law by how quickly the supporters want it passed, implemented, or in the case of the Constitution, ratified. The Federalists are always in such a hurry, spending much time on the urgency of ratifying the Constitution before the states all break into factions or various nations of Europe declare war on us. Both were fiction, but they served a purpose, much as the propagandized creation of the fear of COVID, which is as always to increase government power and control. A. Farmer says of this artificial urgency, "My friends and countrymen, let us pause for a moment and consider. We are not driven to such great straits as to be obliged to swallow down every potion offered us by wholesale or else die immediately by our disease. We can form a constitution at our leisure and guard and secure it on all sides. We are paying off our state debt and the interest on the domestic as fast as Congress call upon us for it. As to the foreign debt, they have the promise of more interest from us than they can get anywhere else, and we shall be able to pay them both interest and principal shortly. But it is said they win declare war against us if we don't pay them immediately. Common sense will teach them better. We live at too great a distance and are too hardy and robust a people for them to make money out of us in that way." A. Farmer then describes various economic classes, from merchants to soldiers to government folks who want public debt and paper money abolished. But whatever the economic consequences or benefits, this still remains the fundamental problem that the Constitution by itself fails to guard our liberty by prohibiting government from enacting certain laws, regulations, policies, or practices. A. Farmer says, but in neither of these cases do I wish to see it adopted without being guarded on all sides with a Magna Carta or a Bill of Rights as a bulwark to our liberties. So the economic consequences of funding the government, its officers, the national debt, and interest are subordinate to the essential component of a bulwark to our liberties. And of that, the Federalists have not spoken to this point. A. Farmer continues. He says, regarding the Constitution, but we need not be in a hurry about it. Consider, my friends, you are the persons who must live and die by this Constitution. A merchant or mechanic may dispose of his goods or pack them up in trunks and remove it to another clime in the course of a few months. But you cannot shoulder your lands or dispose of them when you please. It therefore behooves you to rouse up and turn your most serious and critical attention to this Constitution. So ends part one. In part two, A. Farmer issues a warning to his fellow citizens, which is also a precursor to the tyranny of the deep state and their stolen government has imposed on this country by a coup d'etat. A. Farmer says, a large representation has ever been esteemed by the best Whigs in Great Britain, the best barrier against bribery and corruption, and yet we find a British king having the disposition of all places, civil and military, and an immense revenue squeezed out of the very mouths of his wretched subjects. He is able to corrupt the Parliament, devote him any supplies he demands, to support armies, to defend the prerogatives of his crown, and carry fire and sword by his fleets and armies, to desolate whole provinces in the eastern world, to aggrandize himself and satisfy the avarice of his tyrannical subjects. Replace King with Brandon, and our plight will be accurately reflected in the history books. The next paragraph is so good, I just have to read it. A. Farmer says, no wonder our American ambassador, John Adams, struck with the brilliancy of the British court, where everything around St. James wears the appearance of wealth, ease, and plenty, should imagine a three-branch legislature only can produce these effects and make the subjects happy, should write a book in favor of such a government and send it over for the illumination of this Western world. If this is the sole fruit of his embassy, America will not canonize him for a saint on account of his services, when they have experienced the consequences of such a kind of government as he has planned out. In order to have formed the right judgment, he should have looked into the ditches which serve for graves for many of the human race, under hedges which serve as dreary habitations for the living, into the cottages of the poor and miserable, and critically examine with how much parsimony the mechanics, the day laborers, cottagers, and villagers live in order to support their high pampered lords, before he had wrote a book to persuade his country to pursue the same road to greatness, splendor, and glory, and have reflected in his own mind whether he could wish to see that country which gave him birth reduced to the same situation. And here we are today. In conclusion, A. Farmer submits the question of whether it makes sense to rush into ratifying this Constitution before all the details have been spelled out. I agree, which is why Action Radio is sponsoring a constitutional amendment to take away the power of Congress to borrow money. Just one of many proposed overhauls planned to make the Constitution live up to its promise of limited government and no public debt. A. Farmer says, now I submit it to the good sense of the people of these states, whether it is prudent we should make so liberal and extensive a grant of power and property to any body of men in these United States before they have ever informed the public the amount of the public debt, or what the annual expenses of the federal government is or will be. The source for the Federalist and Anti-Federalist Papers is federalistpapers.org. The Articles of Confederation are from usconstitution.net. This is Greg Penglis for Action Radio with Founding Moments, sponsored by Santa Rosa Volunteers. Their website is srv1776.com. That's srv1776.com. Please share this report to anyone who needs it. So you get it all. We got history, culture, modern stuff, 200-year-old, you know, more than that, founding documents. I mean, it's all here. And so this is a show that we never know exactly where we're going, where we're going to get to. We just we do what we do, and whatever comes to mind gets thrown into the show and then into the podcast. So enjoy. I'll be back tomorrow. We've got Amber Kemper with the Constitution Report. Shirley, I don't know if Shirley's back yet. We'll have to find out. Shirley Watchell's been in D.C. With the D.C. Project Women and Guns. She's been lobbying in Congress, so I want to hear about that. Jim Dice is back, as far as I know, with the Second Amendment Report. We've got Derek Park with the Financial Report, and after that, it's open. It's open hour. I have no idea what I'm going to do yet. Probably go back and talk about the Trump electors, you know, where they are now. I'll see if I get a chance to analyze, you know, by state what's going on and see if there's any action. But that's our show for today. World's Greatest Doctor Panel number 17, back next Thursday with World's Greatest Doctors Panel number 18, as we keep going on this this incredible adventure into medicine, health, culture, history, legislation, politics, and all the things, again, that we do here. All right, I'll talk to you tomorrow.